The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Let's do this. All right, I think we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the special Zoom edition of the Shining Wizards. And you may recognize the guy. I guess he's to my left or my right. I don't know. He's somewhere else on the screen. You might recognize him. Longtime friend of the show, Mr. Mega, Dave Powers, Mega Powers.
Rip him, brother.
What's going on, man? How you been?
Been doing all right. Things have been good. Life is good despite the climate these days. But
staying safe, wearing your mask, social distancing, yeah, all that shit.
Hazmat suits.
Well, there you go. There you go. So the reason why Dave and I have been getting back together today to do a little bit of the wrestling talk is because
about wrestling.
Yeah, of course. Well, we got to talking a couple days ago, and Dave just came out and told me, hey, I've got a copy of the original script of No Holds Barred, the movie. Not the match, the movie. And I was like, this is amazing. He's like, yeah, and he was telling me, like, there's little intricacies, ins and outs. Like, some things are changed, some things are still the same. So he actually said to me, wouldn't it be a great idea if we actually just sat down and went over it and talked about it? I was like, yeah, that sounds fantastic. So this is what we're bringing you guys tonight, a little something-something, going through the original script of No Holds Barred. How did you even get a hold of this thing?
It's kind of an interesting story because a friend of mine was actually screening the movie at Alamo Drafthouse in Brooklyn. And just happened to find out about it. And I was like, this is incredible. I already knew he was like doing trivia at a place called Videology and Williamsburg, and then he moved over to another movie theater called Nighthawk, and he was doing movie trivia over there, and I guess somehow he got linked up with the Alamo Drafthouse people, and I think it was for their Weird Wednesdays. They asked him to screen a movie, and he picked No Holds Barred, and I was like, I have to see this. And when we were talking about this, like, he mentioned, like, he's been doing all this research because he's going to do like an intro before the movie, and he mentioned he had the script, and I'm like, how the hell did you get a copy of the script? So he just sent me a copy, and it just sat in my Gmail because I was like, I'll read it later, and then I just never got around to it. And then, you know, pandemic later, I was like, let me give this a read. And I was like, oh shit, I remember he mentioned that there's like a bunch of stuff that's different. Even Rip's name is slightly different. And just reading it, I was like, whoa, this is like some, it was a bad movie and it's even worse in the script.
So let's put the rumors to rest. This was not something that Hogan and Vince got on a coke bender together at a hotel room for a night and wound up writing together. This is something that was actually written by writers. No,
well, since I do have some experience in film, as you know,
well, that's why I ask.
The Warrior University that I was on, they actually put up on YouTube like last week. So the one that, like, I'm, like, flipping tires and doing a bunch of other shit, that's on YouTube right now. So if you type in Warrior University, It's up there now, so anyone can watch it. It's not buried in some guy's basement somewhere or whatever.
That's fucking awesome.
Yes. So I haven't watched the whole thing, so I need to get on that too. But with film, you know, somebody could be writing a script, putting it together, such as Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan, coked up in a hotel room.
Allegedly.
But, you know, they can just give that script to someone else who knows what they're doing. And, you know, they form it into something that's more, you know, legible and more like a movie and spaced out and formatted properly. So, as you already saw on the script, there's a bunch of different names. Actually, I'm curious, like, who these guys are. I want to Google them right now because...
Yeah, according to the script, yeah, the script says it's by Dennis Hacken and Michael McDonald. Not Michael McDonald. It's not like...
What a fool who believes. Dennis Hacken. That name sounds familiar.
God damn. Is there any singer better than Michael McDonald? Come on. That guy's got some pipes, man. He's got some writing skills. He's got some pipes.
Kenny Loggins comes in a close second.
Kenny Loggins? Really?
Yeah.
Highway to the Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins?
Yes.
I'm Free, Heaven Helps the Man, Kenny Loggins?
Yes.
You know
Playing
what I'm going
to... the boys, Kenny Loggins.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I might have to give you that one. Not above, but kind of close, like right there.
Okay, so Dennis Hacken didn't really do much. He...
Wait, Dennis Hacken played Mr. Belding, no?
No, unless it's a different Dennis Hacken.
I think it was Dennis Haskins.
Okay.
Hey. What's going on here? That's my Mr. Belding impression.
Okay, so he like wrote like a bunch of crappy movies, including this one. And
hey, you keep saying that, man. When I was a kid, I loved the shit out of this movie.
I still love this movie, but we have to be honest with ourselves.
Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough.
This is, you know, it may not be Shakespeare, but
Hey, what's the easiest way to share this with anyone who's watching in case they want to follow along? Do you think it's worth trying to pop it up on the screen here, or do you think maybe we just put it as an attachment and then they could follow along like after the fact? Like after I mean, obviously our decision will be made, but, you know, maybe it's just easier for them to look at it later. Like, you know, like provide it. Like, so then they're watching this and they're watching me talk about it and they're actually like looking at the script going, okay, well, we have the script now. We can follow along.
I think we should probably, well, I'm sure they want to see our reactions too. I don't know how it's going to look if we share it on the screen. So,
well, we could give it a try.
We can give it a shot.
Do I have to give you...
I would think that it has like our faces on up top while it has the script in the middle.
Well, I'm in speaker view, so it's got us side by side, which is why, no, I don't have it in speaker view. I have it in the other view, whatever the other view is. Speaker view is the people up top, and then the person speaking is in the middle. I have us just side by side.
Oh, you have it on gallery view.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
It says it right on the fucking screen.
No. For me, it says speaker view because then I click that button and it'll change it over.
Oh, because you already clicked it. All right.
And I'm on the laptop. I'm not on the device. One of these gimmicks.
One of these gadgets.
All right, so. First impressions, what'd you think? You actually read through the thing. This is my first time seeing it. I have not read through this prior, so Dave is my eyes when it comes to the script. What's your thoughts after having read it?
I read it last night in one shot, and my guess is this, well, it's definitely not the finished version of the script, but it's definitely like a draft at some point. I don't know what phase this is in, obviously, but it's definitely closer to the finished product, because there's like some scenes that aren't in the movie. Actually, I think there's like some scenes in this script that may have been filmed, and I say that because I have the Blu-ray right here, which you can't see because we're on Zoom and I'm using the virtual background.
You kind of have to hold it exactly like in the same like area where you are, where like if I hold
there
this,
we are.
There you go. Perfect.
And if you go to the photo gallery, you'll actually see some like photos from scenes that aren't in the film. And I'm surprised that they didn't even include them on the disc. They included the SummerSlam match without any commentary in the No. I think it's like the cage match. They took out like Ventura's commentary on him. Like, really?
Well, you know, I mean, I think he was in the middle of a lawsuit around that time when that shit was first recorded, but that doesn't make sense. Like, because the DVD and the Blu-ray, like, came out in, within the past couple of years, no? Didn't it just hit, like, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, let me see what the year
it's,
I'm back
Yeah, to. It's fairly recent. It hasn't been available.
Like, 2012 and 2014.
Wow, it's been that long already, huh?
Yeah,
it's
been a while.
Shit. But still, even if it came out in 2012, you would figure, like, all this shit with Ventura is under the bridge already, you know? I mean, Ventura came back during that time period, actually did a show or two with Vince. And he managed Sheamus when Sheamus first started coming in.
Well, that was before the network. When the network came around, he found out that he wasn't getting any royalties.
Oh, so maybe from, that from maybe that. Yeah.
So I think that kind of that may have been around. This may have been around the time that like
either that or even when 24/7 was in existence. Maybe they used it for that when that service was around. I don't. I mean, I know a little bit about 24/7, but I never had it. So.
Yeah, I remember I had it. It was pretty cool. I didn't have it for the whole run, but in some ways I like it better than the network because as much as I love binge watching stuff, it's just like it just gets tired after a while. I'm like,
well, not only
that, I'm like 10 hours of Mid-Atlantic wrestling. It's like I'm kind of burnt out by now.
But the nice thing about the 24/7 was that they had different programming. Like, dude, I watched the shit out of the Legends series where it was just like the round table where everybody would get together, be like JR and Jerry Lawler, and they bring in like Mike Graham or, you know, Dude would come in. Yeah. And Mean Gene was there some of the time, Pat Patterson, you know, like they would just bring in different people for every episode. Half the time they didn't even get through the topic they wanted to discuss, but that's what was so awesome about it. Yeah. It was just the guys telling great stories from over the years. Like Dusty Rhodes was on there a bunch too.
Yeah. And there was some stuff that was on 24/7 that's not on the network. So
that's just befuddling. Like I don't understand why that's even the case.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But anyway, there's some different scenes in the script. How things play out is different, like how Randy gets injured is different. The ending is slightly different. It's very cheesy. It's cheesier somehow.
Does Zeus win?
No, I wish.
That would be the ultimate fucking swerve, brother. Ripple.
They should have filmed an alternate ending.
This is so cool. Like, this is how fucked up Zoom is. Like, I hold up my thumb and my shoulder disappears. Like,
well, now you know how it's like to be WWF superstars when they were cutting promos in front of the green screen back in the day.
I miss that shit, man. I miss that so much. That was so much fun.
Cage in front of you and you're set. You could talk about, you could do a promo on No Holds Barred.
Like, I was even watching an episode of Superstars from like 92 and the Steiner brothers were on it and Yokozuna was making his debut, and dude, they still had Sean Mooney in the event center and they still had the green screen interviews. And this is 92 going into 93. First time ever WWF championship on the line in the Royal Rumble. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, I miss well, the closest thing right now is NWA, and I know some people like it, some people don't. So.
Love me some NWA.
Yeah, I like it. I'm just like some stuff that I don't like, but for the most part, it's, you know, there's a lot of guys on that show that I wouldn't normally like, but now that they get to talk and express who they are,
yeah,
I like them a lot more.
There's very little that has like had me bummed out on that show. It's like it's must see like watching for me. And MLW is the same thing. Like a lot of times, like I look at MLW and there's a lot of stuff that they do that's really good. And then there's other stuff where I'm like, what were they thinking? But it's easy, dude. It's digestible. It's less than an hour a week. You get entertainment. You don't have to like, you know, and if you miss it, who cares? You punch it up an hour or two later or a day later. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
And they got a video game coming out. They got a video game for anyone else.
I can't wait, dude. Retromania is going to be fucking awesome. It plays just like WrestleFest. It's supposed to be like the linear sequel to WrestleFest.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing game. I still hook up my emulator and play it all the time. As a matter of fact, I was streaming playing 2 weeks ago and people were popping in like, oh man, I remember this game. This game was so much fun.
Yeah. I miss like easy wrestling games that, you know, they're, you don't have to worry about glitches or, you know, needing to get patches for shit. It's just like simple, like the arena and the ring setup and all that. It looks like how, you know, we saw it back then. It doesn't have to be perfect. And even though it has like a limited move set, it has all the stuff that you need. So it's just kind of like, you know, how can you ask for more? Only thing that I could, well, actually I could ask for more. I wish like Macho Man and Dusty Rhodes and like the Rockers and the Heart Foundation were in the WrestleFest, but
Heart Foundation, Heart Foundation probably not, but yeah, there's no reason why a bunch of those guys that you mentioned shouldn't be in there. But
yeah,
the BWO is going to be in it. You got Meanie, you got Nova, you got Stevie Richards. Come on, man. Come on, do you don't want to fucking hit the button like, and see the Meanie fucking do the Meanie dance and shit? That'd be awesome.
That's great, but you know, when I heard that there was going to be a successor to WrestleFest, I wasn't expecting like the first names to pop up to be the BWO. So,
hey, Nick Aldis is in it. What more could you ask for?
You can go on your quest for the 10 pounds of gold, I hear.
I would really hope that they would have put Zicky Dice in there. He's fucking awesome.
He fits with the game, so.
And I didn't like him at all when he first came out. I go, what the fuck is this? And then after a couple of weeks, I'm like, all right, I'm down with this guy. This guy's pretty cool.
And plus, you had him as a guest, so now you're kissing his ass.
Number one guest, and I will argue that till the day I die. To
wait,
this
wait,
point,
wait a second. What about me?
But, I mean, you're not really a guest. You're like a friend. You're
means I still could be number one. Am I the number one friend?
You're Ichiban. We'll call you okay. Ichiban. All right. Or Itchy Balls, whatever the day may bring. So do you get the impression by reading the script that this was meant for Hulk Hogan, or was that tweet? Do you feel after reading through it, like, they made a bit of changes to the character to kind of fit, you know, quote unquote Hulkamania? Or when you read it, did it feel like, okay, this has the feel like this is supposed to be, you know, Hulk Hogan, you know, playing this character? Rip.
Oh yeah. 1,000,000% Hulk Hogan. There's no question about it. It's actually like some of the scenes, like like the restaurant scene. He actually comes off more sophisticated in this script than he does in the film.
Now, was that
remember in the film Sam.
Sam, yes.
Yeah,
Sam,
so she brings him there, thinking like, you know, he's like some big oaf who doesn't know shit, and he's uncultured, this uncultured oaf who she has to, butter up to get on World Television Network. And, you know, the waiter is kind of looking down on him. And
hey, you see, that's kind of, let me interrupt you. That's kind of messed up, because if the Hulkster's been there, if Rip has been there before and he knows the owner of the restaurant and he's speaking to him in French, like the waiter.
His entire staff.
But the waiter was kind of being a dick, right? I mean, was he new?
I would think he would have to be new.
That's kind of fucked up, dude. I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like in the actual script, he's like, Rip is like speaking perfect French and ordering like his meal like it's nothing. Now, actually, not only does he order his meal in perfect French, he goes into the kitchen and makes his own meal and then brings it out.
Come on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, and it's apropos because we've been seeing a lot of Los Parks on MLW doing cooking, going into their matches, talking about making chorizo y huevos and all this stuff. So I think that would have been kind of cool.
Nowadays, wrestlers got to get a second job. So, maybe we actually might get, like, you know, due to the pandemic and guys can't wrestle, maybe we might get real TL Hoppers and real Duke the Dumpster Drosies in wrestling now.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but I guess Cesaro's got enough time home and he's looking for things to do. He did a reenactment of William Regal's Real Man's Man Titantron.
Wow.
Where he's like working on his truck and he's chopping wood and he's doing like the poses with his shoulders up and holding the axe over his shoulder. It's fantastic. Fantastic. It gives everybody a chance to be creative, man. That's one thing that's going to come out of this.
Yeah, I think even though, you know, this is not like a good time at all for people who lost their jobs and lost family members and stuff like that, but for people that, you know, nothing bad is going on, or they want to just change things about their lives, like this is like a perfect time. So
yeah, it's almost like an unintentional reset button for people.
Yeah.
That's not always necessarily in a good way, you know, but you know, unfortunately for a lot of people, it's a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It can go either way, but you know, if you do have the time on your hands, you know, use it wisely. Like this is perfect. Whatever you've been putting off, you know, do it now.
Yeah. Well, this is time wisely spent. Of course you're watching Tony. That's Mega Powers over there or up there, wherever he is while I'm recording this. And we are talking one of the original scripts of No Holds Barred. Is there anything you want to get into in particular? I don't know if there's sections that you wanted to go over or you wanted me to take a look at with you, or, you know,
yeah, you know, let's just share the script on the screen as I put some more light on in here.
Yeah, I actually had to shut some of the light off because for some reason, the lights here, the way I'm set up, are not too kindly to my gigantic forehead. Mm. And it looks like I just have two spotlights coming out of it. And
sweating enough, like a whore in church.
Pretty much. So you want me to share it over, or do you have it open? I think
I have it open. Let me see if I can.
I'm just gonna save it to the desktop real quick. Maybe I could open it up.
Yeah, you have to do it. It says that I can't.
Really?
Only the host can.
Oh, here, I'll switch that. Nope, all participants. There you go.
All right.
There you go. So let's see if you can get it. If you can't get it, I'll see if I can pop it. Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Cool.
Now I just hope this records, but if it doesn't, then we could just have everybody, you know, just read it along. All right, sir, you are in charge of the script.
All right.
Let's take a look at what you wanted to, what you think we need to bring to the table here.
Well, one of the first things that kind of came to mind is his name isn't Rip in the script.
It's Ripper?
It's Ripper.
I guess Hulkster, Ripper. Like, look, being a guy from New Jersey.
Heavyweight champion of the world, Ripper.
All I think about when I hear Ripper is a fucking Texas wiener. That's all I think about. Like a deep fried hot dog coming from like Rutz Hut or from Hot Grill. You know what I'm saying, right? Like, isn't that the first thing that pops into your mind?
No, not really, but.
Oh, you're thinking you farts? Say so.
What?
You're thinking farts like rippers?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Or Jesse.
Roaring like a lion, Ripper shakes his head. I love this.
But I just thought it was interesting because, you know, one of the things about No Holds Barred is like, that still kind of like confuses me. It's like, why do people call him like Rip Thomas? Like, where did that name come from? It's not in the credits. It's not like mentioned in the movie. It's not even mentioned on the back of the box. I used to have the VHS. It didn't even say it on there. Like, where the hell did Rip Thomas come from? I'm guessing maybe in the final script he had a last name or something like that, but
that last name never was introduced at all in the movies, right? He was just always Rip.
Yeah.
Ripper. Jake Bullitt's still there. I wonder if they had any inklings as to who's going to play what parts. I mean, you know, it's like, who do we get to fill the guy? I forget his name, you know, and then it's like, oh, I got this guy from Japan. He'd be perfect for it. And then Stan Hansen, because it gets.
Yeah, well, there's like a bunch of wrestlers in the movie. You had the Duke of Dorchester, Pete Doherty was in there.
Yes.
Butcher Vachon was in
there. How many apartment buildings do you own?
I think Mad Dog Vachon was in the movie. But you have like all these, you know, random like wrestlers that weren't, you know, Brutus Beefcake's in the movie. I thought they were best friends, brother. What happened?
So Beefcake's not in the movie?
No.
Didn't I just read before we started that Buff Bagwell was in the movie? I mean, look, I didn't look for him. Maybe he was a kid. Maybe he was one of the kids in the crowd. I really don't know, but it's just weird.
Yeah. So the beginning part is pretty much the same. You know, him having the match with Jake Bullitt, that's all the same.
Well, there
the
you
commentators,
go.
Their lines are pretty generic. I guess they weren't figuring in Jesse Ventura and Mean Gene Okerlund just yet.
Well, unless they were just kind of gap fillers. I mean, from what I remember, it just seemed like the two of them just going off the cuff anyway. No, I mean, yeah. It's probably typical. Hey, here's your bullet points. Fluff, you know, go out there and do your thing.
Yeah, even for a movie, I don't really see them getting much of a script, or they may have gotten a script for like their for this scene, but you know, they just made up their own shit. So,
well, there he is, right there on page four. First time seeing Tom Brell.
Yeah, president and CEO of UTN. I thought it was like WTN, World Television Network. I guess it was...
I thought I saw that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think they must have changed
it. Television Network. Yeah, it's different in the film. It's WTN.
I wonder what made them change that. I wonder what the thought process was behind that. Yeah, maybe they wanted something...
He didn't have a first name in the movie either.
Mr. Brell.
Yeah.
You jockass.
So in the first scene, they're actually just like in like a board meeting or something like that, watching there's like six TV screens with Ripper's fight on it. And if you see here on the third paragraph, it says United Network's own current program is a home shopping phone-in show selling unbelievably schlocky paraphernalia. No one in the room is watching this one.
It's so great. That's so great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see, like, you know, stuff that didn't make it into the movie, just kind of, because we actually never, besides Battle of the Tough Guys, we don't see what's on WTN, you know, what was going against the Ripper match film, you know?
Did we ever see what was on Channel 8 from UHF? I don't think we ever got a picture, like a look into their programming either, did we?
I don't remember. I haven't seen that movie in a while. I've been meaning to rewatch it again, but...
It was on the other night, and I just wanted to see if my wife recognized Anthony Geary, because she's been a General Hospital fan probably since she was a little girl. And mm-hmm. Yeah, sure enough, she saw him. She's like, oh, I know who that is. She's like, that's Luke. I'm like, all right, you do know who it was. Good for you.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was
Philo.
Mad scientist, doctor, yes. Whatever it was, yeah.
Dude, I had no idea, and this is how fucked up the 80s were for me as a kid. I didn't know that was Anthony Geary. And I didn't know that the nephew in Disorderlies was Anthony Geary. Had no idea that was him either. It looks like three different people.
I haven't seen Disorderlies. I need to get up on my Fat Boys.
Disorderlies is a fucking fantastic movie. Dude, when you have Billy Dee Williams delivering Domino's pizza in your movie, you got a fucking winner of a movie.
All right, I need to write that down.
Definitely. Definitely worth watching again and again. We recorded that when we were kids, my brother and I, and we watched on a summer vacation, we watched the shit out of that movie. It was like every day we put it on.
Yeah, the Fat Boys were the best back in the day.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. When they sang Baby, You're a Rich Man, and they were playing with all the guns, great stuff.
Yeah. So
one thing I noticed right here on this page, whatever page, is this page six? They have Randy's brother saying, rip them, rip them. It's like, did they not make up their mind? And they're calling, like, you know, this, the rip them sign. So was he Ripper or rip them? It kind of seems like they didn't really know.
He was Ripper, but he said it's still called rip them. The catchphrase is still rip them.
I guess Ripper would be a little, like, sexually, like, explicit, maybe?
These days, yes.
Well, these days, but back in 88 when we're doing coke writing a script, this is good shit.
There was that one hoodlum that was about to rip Sam in one of the scenes, if you remember.
Yes. Yes. A lightning quick pinky out, thumbs up move from the hip. Rip. They were pretty specific here. I got to give them credit.
Yeah. Well, even those scripts don't have to be super specific, especially if you want to like do something stupid like this, then it helps.
This is so great. They set up his comeback with him locking eyes with his brother.
He sees the sign.
Oh my God, dude. It's like the fucking Undertaker urn being at ringside. All Randy had to do was throw up the rip him, and that was it. It was over. Holy shit. They really just wrote the archetypical Hulkamania Hulk Hogan match where he gets his ass beat, and then all of a sudden here comes the monster comeback, and there you go.
Instead of hulking up, he does the rip 'em sign.
Yeah,
which I love in the movie how he does the sign with his hands, and then he looks at it, and then like he that like turns him on, brother, to make the comeback.
You know, it's great. I don't know if you remember, like very early Hulk Hogan interviews, he used the phrase, it turns me on so much.
Yeah. It turns me on, Mean Gene.
You know, it just turns me on, bro.
This is where the power lies.
The place is absolutely chaotic. Of course they are. Wait, Charlie's the manager, right?
Yeah.
So this is weird too. Like he's got this whole like montage of guys, and I guess Charlie's only purpose is to act as the fodder. You know, like, yeah, I know who this guy is, but I ain't proud of him.
Yeah, that's like his only. Well, he does help save Sam at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but his connection, that's his connection to Zeus. Like, that's how we even find out anything about Zeus.
That's his only purpose in the movie, is to say that line, essentially.
Either that or, you know,
help save Sam. That's it.
You know what? And the young kid in me, like, watching that, like, I pictured Charlie as Doc in Punch-Out. Uh-huh. And I was just waiting for a scene with Doc riding a bike and Rip running behind him training for this match. That would have been fucking great.
You know, I'm surprised that we don't even have any Hulk Hogan, Rip training montages in the movie.
Yeah, it was mostly like when Zeus was training, it was Rip helping his brother Randy go to therapy, right?
Yeah.
That's what we were denied, our Hulk Hogan montage of training.
But you know what? He doesn't need to train. He's Rip.
Dave, all he's got to do is throw him up and he's ready to go.
And lock eyes with his brother. He's good.
Or just answer the phone like Cyndi Lauper. Yeah. Could you, so, like, that could have been what they did. They probably sat around, like, you know, like, what can we use for his, like, hand signal, you know? And they were watching Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and they saw her doing the phone, and it was like, oh, we could just do that, like Cat Licker and Captain Lou.
Well, you got to put up the knuckle, too. That's very important.
This part. Yes, it's like kind of like a Sergeant Slaughter, like, noogie kind of finisher thing.
Or the Freebirds nabes. The two things that stick out to me on this page, you got the finishing move, which in the movie is called the double axe hammer, but here it's the double hammer axe smash.
He's hitting
five times fast.
He's hitting Jake Ripper with it, so it's, you know, he's got to axe him and smash him, right?
Yeah. And the referee says 1, 2, 3, he's out.
of course you got to just make that clear.
Yeah.
The fans, already on their feet, roar. Well, of course they do. It's the fucking Ripper.
Yeah, it's a big title match. Everyone's, it's pandemonium.
He points up to the heavens and gives thanks to the Big Daddy upstairs. I don't think Big Daddy was dead at this point.
Yeah, he's dead, I think.
Big Daddy was dead in 1988? No. For real?
I don't remember him having any classic matches around that time.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I don't know a definitive history of the world of sport, but I could tell you if they were running, he was probably still around.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Poor Brell.
Big Daddy upstairs, huh?
Poor Brell. He's all upset.
So one scene that's like not in the movie at all is a scene of Randy, who's a high school like wrestling athlete, high school amateur wrestler. Who's it? Basically, this scene kind of plays out like the Rip scene to some extent. He was basically like having this match, gets his ass kicked a little bit. He's staring at some chicks, and then
wait! I was reading a part about the cheerleaders. One blonde keeps crossing and uncrossing her legs for Randy's sole benefit. What kind of weird shit were they writing in this movie? Okay, all right, keep going. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We can stay on this page because, as you can see, he's distracted by the chick, but someone shows up. And as you read here at the bottom, Randy has his face squished into the mat, is in big trouble, but he somehow manages one more peek at the blonde's upper thigh. She uncrosses her legs one more time, and as she does, Ripper.
So as she's uncrossing her legs, in between them is Hogan, is Rip's face going, "Bruh!"
So apparently he was under her crotch the entire time.
What's that smell?
So from behind the blonde in the bleachers, all right, that doesn't sound right. Ripper's face appears. He just shakes his head and gives Randy the low-high sign and mouths the words, rip him.
Oh, he gets Randy serious quick.
With new energy, gets serious quick. He gives it everything he's got. Lifting his opponent clear off the mat, he pulls off a quick reverse takedown. He covers. It's over. He wins.
I wonder if Rip, if Randy ever had competitions against AC Slater.
Oh God.
So Randy's in high school at this point, or is this college?
High school.
God damn! What a little pervert.
Yeah, where is it?
Wait, so he's high school. High school
wrestling meet is underway.
But he's not in high school in the movie, is he?
Like, well, you know, back in the late 80s, you could be like in your mid-20s and pull off yourself as a high school student.
Fair. All right, fair enough. I'll give you that one. Fair enough.
Obviously, that was a cliche from back then. You could be like 30 and still in high school by movie standards then.
Yeah, well, I mean, just look at Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah.
I think Andrea was in her 40s when they filmed it.
Oh, God. So we go back to the boardroom with Burrell. This is one of my favorites, Miss Tidings Take a Leak, which is in the script. Or what does she say? She says, like, some Miss Tidings graces with your undoubtedly perspicacious programming suggestions. There's still a lot of old classic movie films that haven't as yet been colorized. With careful selection and astute Miss Tidings,
take a leak. You think this was written with Vince in mind? Like, you think, like, do you think Brell was like the like maybe angry Vince or sinister Vince back in the 80s? Do you think they modeled this after Vince at all? Or do you think like they just went over the top? Because this sounds like Vince if you really think about it, like the stories you've heard over the years.
Well, from, you know, listening to, you know, like podcasts like Bruce Pritchard and all that, from the way that he talks about Vince, you know, during this time, it seemed like, you know, Vince saw himself as like a clean cut, you know, broadcaster, like nothing, you know, nothing wrong about him, squeaky clean. But, you know, obviously when you hear little stories about him back then, you know, it's exactly like Mr. Burrell. So I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, he's writing this thinking like, hey, pal, you know, this is a ruthless, you know, jockass wrestling promoter.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, meanwhile, you know, he's doing all this shit. So yes. I could totally see him like writing the script and not even thinking of himself, but just like unconsciously, you know, writing stuff that he would do.
Yeah. Kind of jumped out at me, like going over this and actually seeing the way he treats this woman, Miss Tidings, tells her to take a leak. Whatever, man.
So instead of what the hell's the character's name in the movie? I think it was like Boardway.
In this movie,
he's Orbach.
Maybe they were hoping to get Jerry Orbach to play him.
Maybe
play a little fucking what do you call it? Law and Order music when they go out to look for Rip. To sign the Ripper.
They could have had that for the limo scene.
Understand. Oh, is the limo scene in the script? I gotta know.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
It's actually like not even a page, but it's in there.
But it's nice to see that they actually, like, you know, that was in from the get-go and they decided to run with that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And you got some of the, you know, you get him to break his bond. The words are a little bit different here.
Bond.
You know, what this network needs, this network gets. That's like a little worded a little bit differently.
I'll personally see this network gets. Yeah. Because he says, what this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that, or something like that.
Yeah, I promise you that.
Oh, who knows? I mean, it could also be the fact that they're just letting the actor, you know, run with it.
Yeah. Or so I think we actually do get some like Rip like training in the gym with Randy. Nonsense going on. Them just like competing against one another, you know, getting the most reps. It's like a scene that probably, you know, wouldn't make any sense in the movie. It's just them Just them hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make sense either, especially if you take out the whole wrestling thing with Randy. And yeah. I mean, later on, yeah, but doesn't Randy later on challenge Zeus? Doesn't he get in Zeus's face? I mean, that would, it would have made, maybe it doesn't make more sense, because I'm just trying to think big picture. Yeah. Maybe they're trying to show like, hey, you know, Ripper's this big, strong guy, but, you know, Randy himself is no slouch. And, you know, Rip is giving him shit like, you got to concentrate, you got to focus, like, you got to, you know, step up. And maybe Randy at that point thinks like, fuck, this guy wants to mess with me and my family, I got to step up. I don't know. Maybe could have added a little bit more to that.
We'll get to that.
Okay. But, I'm sorry. You don't know how fucking giddy I am. This is so awesome. I love it.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, especially, you know, I feel this is perfect timing. You know, sometimes like it's kind of like, oh, well, why didn't you read this earlier? And now I know why, because we needed to do this show.
Of course.
So we got him talking about the cheerleaders. This is just like a throwaway scene. I kicked that guy's butt.
Right
now, I'm thinking about kicking your butt.
Wouldn't it be funny if they locked up?
Well, they do in this scene.
Oh, they do. All right. There we go. Look at this. Oh, this
Ripper
is fucking awesome.
Peels off his workout gloves as he walks over to the mat.
And he takes down Ripper? What? Yeah,
2 points.
Ripper tries to kick out. You'll never escape. What the?
So a high school student is taking down the world heavyweight champion.
And then Ripper reverses. This is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
This is awesome stuff right here. Could you imagine? Yeah. Do you think Hogan's reading the script for this and he's like, yo, this ain't going to work for me, brother.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
That's hilarious. Oh, so now they're wrestling and Charlie gets in the middle of it? Oh, man.
So he's got like a few lines in this, Charlie does.
Poor Charlie. Charlie's an old man. He can't take this shit.
Yeah.
My name is Charlie, not Charlie the Tuna. Now get me out of this water. Come on. Really?
Yeah, this is like really dated. I don't even know this commercial. So
you never? Oh man, yeah. Starkist was Chicken of the Sea. No, Starkist. Charlie was.
Wait a minute. It was. They had like a mascot. Right?
Charlie was. Yeah, Charlie was Starkist. Yeah. That's right. And yeah, and the thing was, sorry, Charlie. Yeah, but this is
only
so ridiculous.
Prime tuna are selected by.
But this is so bad. Like, this is really bad writing. My name is Charlie, Charlie the Tuna. Come on.
I'm going to select this hammerhead upside your fish brain noggin. Now,
this is so bad.
Oh, yeah, because, they knock him into the water cooler and it falls on the floor. So there's, like, all this water on the floor. So that what brings up the Charlie the Tuna line.
See, it would have been funnier if they said, well, it looks like you had an accident there, Charlie. You're like, haha, very funny. Could you get me up off the floor? Oh, man.
So, yeah, this is like prime, like, you know, like hidden gems right here.
Kids coming along. He's got what it takes. Couple years and he could be mopping your stuff up. Okay, I get it. He's thinking about they want to train Randy. Randy's going to be like the heir apparent to Ripper when Ripper gets too old for this business. This is pretty cool. All right, so Ripper's got a meeting. I got to go. Oh, he's going to meet his new account executive, Sam. Wait, do we know about Sam yet at this point?
I think she's mentioned earlier in the script. I could be wrong.
Yeah, because she's a plant for Brell, isn't she?
Yeah, I want to say that she's actually in the script earlier. I could be wrong, but
maybe we just glossed over it. I don't remember her name coming up because she's underlined
this is the match. Because I think they actually somewhere in the script they do.
Yeah, stick around there at the boardroom. Let's see if anything comes up in the boardroom. Oh, you know what? Maybe it comes up later on that she goes to Brell's office after the fact.
Yeah,
I think that's what happens.
They do something in the script where it gives away that she's with Brell.
Yeah, like maybe she walks into his office like much later on, like after the meeting and all that. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to remember everything about this, about the movie, and match it up.
Yeah.
Oh, so, and notice the receptionist's name is Liz.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. Oh, nudge, nudge.
So Ripper and Liz, yeah. Sure, he wanted to rip into Liz.
do your chimes ring like that all the time?
Oh, yeah, because she's checking him out. Ripper marches through the double glass doors. He gives her a friendly nod. Liz is so thrilled to see him that she completely forgets to answer the phone. She just stares after him.
She's checking out the goods, brother.
She blushes like mad.
Of course she does. She's trying to make time with the champ.
Yeah. So we got like some other, you know, throwaway characters. You know, this is part of the scene that didn't make it into the movie. You know, people wanted him to sign autographs. So
he's trying to recruit a three-year-old kid? What's wrong with him? Did you see that?
Well, yeah, this is you know, still the Pat Patterson.
Hey, come on, you're gonna train the kid. I'm gonna take him over, I'm gonna bang him in the air.
Yeah. What was the name of that friggin' announcer? Why is his name like
Mel Phillips?
Mel Phillips. How could I forget that name?
Yeah, I forgot it. I actually brought him up a couple weeks ago and I couldn't for the life of me remember his name. You know, they edited they were editing him out of a lot of stuff because of what happened with him. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. And apparently, the story goes, he was the one that grabbed the smashed belt from Saturday night's main event.
Yeah.
He's the reason why like that got into hands of another collector, because he had the foresight to scoop that thing up.
Yeah, it just blows my mind that like some of those guys were like, yeah, this is just like old stuff. Who cares about it? And
Tito Santana.
Yeah.
Prime example. He thinks his wife threw it out.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. That just boggles my mind. And somebody came up with the realization. It's like, well, maybe these guys, you know, like it didn't really mean that much to them because it was just part of the job and all in the day's work. But
well, especially that mindset back in those days, it's, you know, it seemed like the norm for guys not to take themselves seriously, especially in front of the other guys. So
don't be a mark for yourself. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which is why still Bret Hart still gets some shit from guys.
You know,
for having pictures of himself around the house and his gear and belts hanging around the house.
You know what, though? Fuck that, man. That's the guy's legacy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Irrespective of whether or not wrestling is a sport, it's entertainment, whatever you want to call it, those are still big accomplishments. Like, nobody's giving him those allocades, as Lex Luger would say.
Yeah.
if he didn't deserve them and they didn't think that he deserved them. So why not be proud of it?
Yeah.
Like, you mean to tell me The Rock don't have a fucking replica championship in his house or Stone Cold?
Yeah,
doesn't?
He does.
You know, so that's what I mean. Like, Hulk Hogan's got shit all over his office.
Yeah, he's seen got the pictures. Rocky belt in there.
He's got his fucking Rocky belt.
Yeah.
The Thunderlips championship.
So, but hey, you know, some guys view it differently. I don't know. So, you know, Ripper's got his all natural energy drink with him.
Of course he does. I wonder if it's made by IcoPro.
Not yet. Give him a few years.
Your new account exec, Sam. Yeah. Here she comes.
Samantha and more. Pleased to meet you.
Samantha and more.
Why don't you put that in your brief?
I like the name. You know what? She was very attractive, and the only thing I ever remember her from, aside from No Holds Barred, was she was one of the bad guys in See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Really?
Yeah, the Richard Pryor Gene Wilder movie.
Oh, I thought it was the Kane movie.
No, definitely not in that movie.
She
probably was not as attractive at that point.
You know, she actually has like a sex scene with Kris Kristofferson in a Willie Nelson movie.
Get for real?
Yeah.
When was this movie made?
Fuck, what the hell? Let me...
Had to have been the 70s, no?
No.
How many
Chris around, like, this time.
Oh, for real? Okay.
Let me find it.
Yeah, because when I think of, I can't even think of the actress's name now. Sally Fields, maybe? Like, I think Kris Kristofferson, Sally Field comes to mind for some reason.
It's called Another Pair of Aces, Three of a Kind.
How does that work?
It's from, what year is this movie?
Oh, is that a sequel to A Pair of Aces?
Yeah.
That's why they call it Three of a Kind. So let me guess. It's either a couple and somebody else gets in between, or it's a couple that has a baby and now they're three of a kind. I mean, that would be my guess. I don't know a shit about this movie.
The movie's actually pretty good. I got it for like $5 at Walmart years ago.
Tell me, what's it about?
I don't remember. I only remember the sex scene because she's actually nude in it. So,
whoa, for real?
Yeah.
And what's this called for the, in case somebody out there might want to look this up?
Hold on. I was Another Pair of Aces, Three of a Kind, 1991.
Oh shit. That was after this.
Yeah.
Oh, goody, goody gumdrops. High school Tony would have been all about that if he knew that that existed. I would have been like, yo, you know Samantha from No Holds Barred? Yo, she's naked in this shit. We got to watch it.
Your tits.
Titties.
Well, I thought it was funny that she's like having a sex scene with Kris Kristofferson. If you listen to anybody, if anybody listens to country music, it's just kind of a random choice.
Yeah. Well, Kris Kristofferson made a lot of movies back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
He was quite the thespian he was.
So, you know, when Hulk Hogan couldn't seal the deal, Kris Kristofferson walks right in.
Or maybe he was batting cleanup. We don't know if Rip didn't seal the deal or not, because Rip was trying to be
like, this movie came out in 89, so Another Pair of Aces.
You don't think he went home and celebrated?
So there's like a whole year that we don't know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they went home and celebrated that night.
Yeah,
maybe they let Charlie get in on the action.
Hey, Charlie, you can watch, brother.
Charlie, you want to get some of this? Sorry, Charlie. Ripple. Oh, here we go.
I know we talked about acting out some of these. You want to do a read through of one of the scenes?
Yeah, sure. You have something in mind?
Yeah, the next scene. Which is the famous Brell Rip meeting in the office.
Who do you want to be?
I'll be Brell.
All right, perfect. All right, yeah, let's scroll down. This will be fun.
Since I read this already, you can read all the in between stuff.
Okay, this is it, right?
Yeah.
United Network Corporate Headquarters, day. A black stretch limo with United Network vanity plates pulls up to the curb. Out steps Ripper. It's so weird saying that. In interior of Brell's office, day. The room is an incredible view of the city skyline. It's furnished with priceless antiques. Sounds like Vince.
Yeah.
You know, just as an aside, we're talking about his office. Vince's office at Titan Tower, or whatever they call it these days. Did you know he's got a fucking dinosaur skull mounted on the wall?
Yeah, I saw that.
And did you know that he didn't want people fighting in his office, which is why he like had that whole scene where he threw AJ and Daniel Bryan out from, so you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I haven't watched it. I got rid of the network.
Too long didn't read story of Money in the Bank. They had simultaneous men's and women's Money in the Bank matches that took place at Titan Tower, where there was a ring and the briefcases were suspended side by side above said ring on the roof.
Yes.
So like 12 competitors, 6 men, 6 women, had to fight their way through Titan Tower, get to the roof to get the briefcases. And at one point, AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan wind up going into Vince's office. And Vince is like, get out. He does the whole thing, like throwing him out. And you see the skull on the wall. And the reason you see the skull on the wall, the reason they didn't fight there is because that skull is actually like supremely like valuable.
Wow.
Like he would probably kill 30 people if somebody like fucked that up on him. Like that's how valuable this thing is. So anyway, back to this. All right. Interior, city skyline, priceless antiques. Okay. Brell is making sure that everything is perfect. He adjusts 2 delicate chairs set on opposite sides of a coffee table to himself.
I hope the muscle head doesn't break one of these.
At that moment, the door opens and Ripper walks in. Brell does an about face.
Ripper, my friend, so glad you could come by.
Brell offers his hand and Ripper shakes it warily. Just scroll down one little line. Oh, up, I mean. Okay. This is a period. No, because our heads are, that's where my cameras are. So, what's on your mind?
Sit down. This chair was made for men of great stature. Louis XIV, to be precise. You'll be quite comfortable, I think. Cost me a fortune.
Looks more like Louis XV to me. I think it might be a reproduction. That snaps Brell out of his overly polite attitude.
I'll have to look into that then. Let me get right to the point. I want you to come work for me.
But I'm already under contract.
Do you want to hear my offer or not?
Ripper doesn't respond.
Maybe you're not understanding what I'm proposing. I want you on my network, and I'm willing to pay whatever it takes.
I understand you all right, and I hope you understand this. I only came here as a courtesy. Thanks for sending the limo for me, but I'm not interested in breaking my contract, and now I think I should be leaving. Ripper starts to lean forward to get up. Brell stands and reaches over and puts his hand on Ripper's shoulders to keep him seated.
I'm not through yet.
He's starting to boil. He goes over to the plate glass window and looks over the city.
Don't think I don't know what you're doing. You're just like all the rest of them out there, aren't you? You're seeing just how much you could squeeze out of me, right?
He turns his face back to Ripper. He draws a check out of his pocket and sets it on the table. He sets a pen on top of it.
It's blank. Just fill in the amount.
Calmly, Ripper gets up again. I told you, it's time for me to go. Brell pokes him hard in the chest. Ripper looks down at his scrawny finger.
And I'm telling you that you're not going anywhere until you and I come to an agreement.
Watch me. Ripper takes a step for the door, but Brell intercepts. Again, Brell pokes him hard in the chest. Ripper starts to get that look in his eye.
Aren't you going to tell me that my money's not good enough for you? I find that a little hard to swallow, you jackass.
Ripper picks up the check off the table. He looks at it carefully, as if he's considering it. Stuffing the check in Brell's mouth. I won't be around when that check clears. Brell, choking on the paper, grabs the telephone.
Give me the garage.
And this is the infamous scene that comes.
This is the limo scene.
Ripper's in a foul mood after the meeting with Brell. He's looking out the window. He notices the limo taking a wrong turn. He's like, hey, pal, come on. That's Vince, dude. That's Vince's language. Hey, pal. Hey, pal, it's faster if you would have gone left. Hey, you're going the... Wait, it's a question. Hey, you're going the wrong way? And then, of course, this is the famous scene where Rip is just kicking the shit out of the inside of the limo. Yeah. And him kicking a door is enough to make this limousine just dip and sway all over the road.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't think about it because, you know, you're just watching a movie and you're like, yeah, Hulk Hogan can do that.
Yeah, because, well, the Hulkster's so powerful. He's just kicking a hole in the fucking everything and just going all over. Yeah,
but then, like, once you get older and then, like, it's like, nah, this ain't happening.
That was fun, dude. That was great. And then he fucking blasts out. Wait, Ripper's being thrown from side to side in the back seat. Okay, then they get into the... All right. Waiting inside are four heavies with pipes, brass knuckles, and blackjacks. I guess Stevie Ray was there, huh?
Yeah. Well, that was the slapjacks, but, you know.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Slapjack. Well, I guess they didn't want to call it a blackjack, you know, because, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't want to make anybody get upset or, you know. Whatever, dude. It's fucking Turner. It ain't my business. Oh, Jesus. So, yeah, so this is it. And he beats them all up.
Yeah.
Full frontal assault. Boy, they really went into some detail here, huh?
Yeah. Everything basically, I think that was there something different in here? No, they got him exploding out of the moonroof like a Poseidon missile.
Yeah, well, that's what happened, no?
Yeah. I just found it funny, like, the wording that they're using for some of this. There's him in the sea of his pants. I don't think there's just, like, some, like, different fight scenes throughout the film. I think this is pretty much the same. But I know this is the part that you wanted to know, you know, if it's still intact. Is it the same? Are the lines still the same?
I mean, really? Oh, here we go.
Yes.
Here we go. Oh, I can't. How do I change my picture? Can I tab this down so I can change it?
You have to go back to virtual backgrounds and then select and then click the plus sign and then add a new background.
Add profile picture. Yeah, I don't know if I could do that. I might have to. Let me see. Oh, if I exit full screen. Oh, maybe I could do it now.
Yeah, if you exit the full screen, you can just go click on the zoom icon.
There we go.
Click on the gear on the gear icon. There you go.
What's that smell?
Dookie.
Dookie. Oh, and here we go. The next scene is the French restaurant.
Yeah, La Rive Gauche. An elegant French restaurant, perfectly turned out patrons.
Of course. How do I? Oh, okay. Back to full screen. All right, I like the full screen. I like being able to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Antoine.
Yeah, Antoine, the Madame Monsieur. Have we reached a decision?
I want to see where he cooks. If Monsieur is looking for Le Cheeseburger American or Le Footlong Hot Dog, come on. It's so terrible.
Yeah. That's actually the same line in the movie. So that made it through.
Yeah, so they it looks like from here they wound up getting rid of the whole maitre d' thing, because then Rip just speaks French to him right away.
Yeah. And he like orders like everything on the menu, apparently, because he just like won't shut up. Like there's, and then here's Antoine in perfect English. Would you mind repeating all that in English?
Oh man, I would have kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Ripper gets up from the table. Will you excuse me, please?
Here you go. Here's in the kitchen.
His entrance provokes a flurry of activity. Two bus boys remove his jacket. The chef steps up with a flourish, places his toque on Ripper's head. The kitchen workers race to get the knives, cutting boards, pots of it. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Ripper conducts the kitchen like a maestro. He slices, dices, stirs, tastes, twirls utensils, banging on pots and pans. How great is this? I wanted this in the movie. This would have been awesome.
The Epicurean symphony reaches a crescendo.
Ripper puts the finishing touches on the food. Wouldn't it be so funny, dude, after all this, he just comes out with a fucking hamburger? That would have just completely put it over the top.
If it was the real guy, I'm sure, yeah.
You've been gone long enough to have cooked a four-course dinner. Which he did, stupid.
Yeah, literally.
Merci, Monsieur Ripper, for your recipes. Okay, so this is where we find the no holds barred tough guy challenge.
Yeah. So a lot of this is pretty much the same. There's only like some minor changes, like the bathroom scene is a little bit. You know, speaking of which, let me switch backgrounds.
But what do we got here? A bunch of teeny wangers.
The phrase wanger is actually in the script. So.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude.
Let me find it, because all this stuff is, you must be fags. The gay bar is across the street. So that line is still in here.
This is fierce, ugly, hand-to-hand PG-13 combat. Well, PG-13. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, PG-13 back then was a lot tamer, but something was like PG-13 back in like the late 80s. You know, it would be, well, this movie was PG, I think.
There were some movies, dude, where PG, you'd have a couple of titties and a couple of F-bombs.
Yeah, that's true. You know? That's true.
I mean, it was parental guidance. You know, if you brought your kids in there, you know, you may be up for some shit. So
yeah, I guess forgot the name of the board that oversees all that stuff. So
Motion Pictures of America.
So if you have titties on the screen for 5 seconds, we'll give you a PG-13.
Yeah, it's like I don't remember what Back to School is rated, but there were a pair of titties in Back to School. You know, whatever.
So the line of her getting laid and parlayed is not in the script.
That's fine.
So they're watching the match. They're watching all this. They're asking about the referee.
The ref stands outside the ring. Can't kill nobody. Last man standing wins. That's the only rules. Those are my kind of rules. The big headbanger has knocked the short headbanger into unconsciousness. I wonder if that was originally the headbanger's names, the big headbanger and the short headbanger.
Well, I see Stan Hansen's character's name is still the same, Neanderthal.
Well, there you go. Why not?
Yeah, so parading around, so he wins the match. Tell your brother he can keep the change if he takes on the guy in the ring.
That's fucking great. Nobody takes me. I'm the king. You ain't even a prince. Dude, the writing is so bad.
Yeah.
My God, who are these people? What is this sickness? These people would cheer at a hanging. When does he go, this is sick? Is that coming up?
Yeah, this is a line right here. Who are these people? What is this sickness? But they don't have the hanging. Oh, no, they do have a hanging. These people would cheer at a hanging.
You can't be serious. No, I don't. Yeah, I'm disgusted. I'm going to the men's room. I think he is serious. Oh, here we go. In steps Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Never in a million years will Brell get this on the air. Yeah, here we go. Neanderthal moves to the urinal in between Orbach and Unger. Hanging on to their wangers, they hold their breath.
There you go. There's wangers. So.
Wangers. They put other words in the script, but they went with wangers for this.
Yeah. So this is where they announce the United Network, at least in the script. You know, it's not called Battle of the Tough Guys in the script, actually. So we'll get that. It's called...
The
line is literally there. It is called the No Holds Barred Battle of the Tough Guy Challenge.
Oh, there you go.
So luckily they just changed it to Battle of the Tough Guys.
And Klondike is there. He's a 290-pound moose. Dude, Brock Chisler.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Brock Chisler.
Yeah, that was the same... The character's name is used in the film too.
But how crazy is that?
Yeah.
Brock.
Ernie Biggs, we didn't get to see him in the movie.
Wait, Ernie Biggs?
Yeah.
I wonder if that was supposed to be Ernie Ladd.
Says he scratches his ass with his other hand.
Of course he does.
We got Bulldog McPherson. Okay, so here's the introduction of Zeus. In the movie, we get him coming into the bar for the inaugural Battle of the Tough Guys. Here, we actually find out about him in prison when he gets paroled. So in the script, he's just, you know, incredibly huge biceps, tree trunk neck, tremendous hands, build of a power lifter.
Well, of course. He's fucking Zeus.
Nothing about him having a cock eye or anything like that, so... So they do have like a brief, all right. So this is still, okay. So United Network corporate headquarters, it's Spike's downtown. So Spike's bar downtown. So if you think you're tough enough, come on down and put it on the line. We're entering a new era in sports television. So now we're in the warden's office. Warden has a quick chat with Zeus. Pro board tells me you served enough time. I think they're crazy letting the likes of you out. If I had anything to do with it, you'd never see the light of day.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Because they definitely like filmed the scene of him at the prison, because that's one of the gallery photos on the Blu-ray and DVD. So who knows if we'll ever see the light of day for that one. So.
See, that's the other thing too. Like, I don't understand why they would shit on, you know, a release and not put in all this stuff. This is amazing stuff.
Yeah. So we have Sam on the soundstage. Okay, which soundstage? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, she's with Ripper.
Oh, this is a new scene that's not in the film. It's like him.
Oh, commercial.
Him filming a commercial. Another scene of him, like, showing how smart he is.
This is awesome. Okay, Ripper, all you have to do is press 2 keystrokes, and when the screen lights up and the printer starts printing, that's when you say, for your biggest, toughest computer jobs, rely on microdata. This is fucking great.
Well, you'll love this even more, because there's actually 2 scenes where he's filming a commercial, so both of these got completely cut out of the movie.
This is like Rocky III when they got when they got him filming shit. This is awesome.
Smeals real mainly.
Let me see. Goes over to puts it on. Just press 2 buttons, 1, 2, and say your line. The problem's in the computer. Wait, let me guess. So Ripper fixes the computer, right?
Of course, yeah.
And the director goes, sure it is. What a fucking bunch of dicks. Ripper hits the keystrokes again. Again, nothing. Take a look and see if there's anything wrong with it. Sure enough, nothing happens. You might check whether you're in serial or parallel interface. Are you kidding me? He knows the difference between serial and parallel interface. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if he speaks French and knows how to make French cuisine, then sure.
Yeah, he's the world heavyweight champion. Why wouldn't you? You know, we had higher standards for championship wrestlers back in the day, Tony. Come on.
Is this Hulk Hogan or Nick Bockwinkel? Who the fuck is Phil? Who's in this movie? Holy shit. The crew starts to wander. It's busted, all right. Ripper makes some adjustments and closes up the computer. Holy cow. And it, if that doesn't work, drop an elbow to smash it. Holy shit. Ripper rears back and makes so he's going to give the machine a colossal elbow. He stops just short when the screen lights up and the printer starts spewing out paper. Come on. That's awesome. That is awesome.
So
Spike's bar.
Yeah, so this is the filming of the inaugural Battle of the Tough Guys. So not too much, there's like little changes here and there, but it's pretty much the same scene. Klondike Kramer is hanging out. This is pugilistic pandemonium.
So this is all going on at once. You got Ernie Biggs beating up on Klondike Kramer. You got Klondike Kramer beating up on Brock Chisler. You got Bulldog McPherson chewing on Ernie's ear. What do you like best?
They're all scum.
Ah. Uh-oh. So, here we go.
Right here.
Zeus. A foolish PA, a cute girl, tries to intercept him. I'm sorry, sir, but this event is close to the... Zeus fucking pie faces her and picks her up. Was this a woman in the movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a bartender in the movie.
We finally see Zeus's face. Savage, scarred, and bitter. I don't know what he's so angry about.
Yeah, you know, he killed the guy that was giving him problems, so I don't know why he's all mad.
One follows him as he makes his way to the ring. They can't take their eyes off of him. He's an ominously imposing figure, Dave.
Yeah.
Brell likes what he sees and says, let him fight. Oh, man. This is the Octagon before the Octagon was the Octagon.
Yeah. Before TNA, too. So Vince created the UFC.
Bulldog, I ain't afraid of you. He's like, you should be. Hey, guys, check this out. That guy's a monster. So Craig is Randy's buddy. Oh, my God. Yeah. Charlie is singing while he cooks dinner. What is it? Everybody's cooking?
You know, when you have, like, Rip around, why is Charlie cooking? Come on.
And Charlie says to himself, no, it can't be. What are you doing, Charlie? Holy cow, Charlie's losing his shit.
Yeah, Charlie is shitting a brick right now.
The commentator can't take much more. Ah, the commentator's horrified. Neanderthal is on his back, gasping for air. Fucking poor tiny listeners choking the life out of Stan Hansen. Choking him with one hand and pulling out his hair with the other. This is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, this is gold. Like, it's, you know, I'm glad that we had our chat over the weekend. Because I was thinking about this, but you know, if we didn't talk about it, I wouldn't have gone ahead and read this. So
this got me fired up, dude. This is awesome. Hey, what's on,
brother?
Charlie says it ain't good. And so none of this part is in the movie. Like, this didn't happen this way.
Well, he only had like one line. He's like, he I think he just said like or two lines.
I trained him, but I ain't proud of him.
Yeah.
Hey, Randy, do you think Ripper could take this guy? Of course he could. Right, Rip is in the room. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. That man is insane. Holy shit, dude. Who is that animal? I never thought they'd let him out. You know him? But I'm not proud of it. I never wanted to tell you. I had him before I had you. What is this, some sort of gay thing? He had it all.
This is like the Ric Flair promo for Miss Elizabeth.
Strength, speed, the skills. They both watch Zeus. But I couldn't control him. I got rid of him after a month or so. After I heard he killed somebody in the ring. Holy shit. After the bell, they put him away. But now he's loose. and Rip is staring at the screen. Oh my God. The announcer doesn't even know his name. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't Brell announce him? Doesn't Brell come in and do this or no?
Well, we're getting to that part.
We're getting there. Okay.
Well,
I thought of the movie Brell was so fucking like enamored that he jumped in the ring to announce this guy to begin with.
No, I think that was, Zeus does, Zeus grabs the mic and, you know, says who he is. Zeus. And then I think they go on to the next scene. I know there's like some part where Brell is blowing his load to Zeus.
Zeus stares at Rip and Rip stares back at him through the TV.
Eye to eye.
A 24 rating and a 39 share? What in God's green earth is that? That's fucking insane.
Hey, man, you know, this was the 80s. You can get those kind of ratings. Wrestling can't get that now.
Yeah, but even that's just off the charts. Like if you're in the know, that's like just putting this, like, that's putting this Battle of the Tough Guys into the stratosphere of like the top 10 shows of all time.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. That means like 39% of the people like that have televisions were watching this. That's crazy.
Yeah. So if we were living in that world, like this would still be like the highest rated show of all time, one of them.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. Do we have a problem with being number one, Mr. Johnson? At one time, Mr. Brothers Network stood for good family programming. Well, get used to it. Johnson's not happy. Johnson's quitting, and Brell says accepted.
You know, you can't please Johnson, so.
Mr. Green is upset about the telegrams, violent nightmares, nationwide coalition. They watched it, didn't they? That's all that counts. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Zeus terrifies competition. Ha! Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the star of a primetime show. Oh, and Zeus just happens to show up.
Yeah. In the movie, he wasn't in the board meeting. But in the script, he was there. He apparently, being in the board meeting wasn't part of our deal.
What the fuck? And he's actually his lines.
Yeah.
To Brell, this wasn't part of our deal.
Of our deal.
Ripper. Wait, do the next line about him.
Wait, say that again?
Do the Ripper line. Do the Ripper line of Zeus.
Ripper? What about Ripper?
I don't answer questions. This is fucking awesome. This is so awesome. It gives everyone in the room a disdainful look. This is like corporate Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Except he's wearing his leather instead of a George.
So we have a scene coming up that I want us to act out.
All right, perfect.
Coming up soon. So get ready. We're gonna go. We're still going scene by scene, but the good ones. We got some good ones that we got to act out. This is the first Zeus fight for him defending his Battle of the Tough Guys, or No Holds Barred Battle of the Tough Guys championship.
And they're fighting in an ice house. I don't remember an ice house. Was there one in the movie?
No, there wasn't. I think the first opponent was Lug Wrench Perkins, if I remember correctly.
Well, here you go. There's his twin brother, Ice Pick Perkins, wearing filthy long johns. So what's his name? Lug Wrench was wearing long johns, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So they tweaked this. It was.
No, he was wearing. He's wearing overalls without a shirt.
Oh, I thought he was wearing long
johns. A fat guy working in a. It wasn't like a factory. There's like sparks going off all over the place, like some sort of like machine shop or something.
Lug Wrench.
Lug Wrench Perkins.
I guess ice was too expensive.
Yeah.
Zeus, bare-chested, saunters in, oblivious to the cold. Probably had some rock-hard nipples, too.
Yeah. Because Zeus on him.
Zeus had ice hooks. Perkins pleads for mercy. Zeus gives him none. This is so great. He's fucking murdering a man with an ice block. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Spears a mammoth block of ice and lifts it over his head and buries Perkins under the block.
So good. So good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, another commercial.
Yeah, this is the other commercial he does. For some reason, Whoever was like revising the script or something like that, I don't know why they felt like doing so many commercials in here. This one is actually like pretty funny. Like if you thought like the him cooking like French dinner, French cuisine rather, and fixing a computer, knowing like the parallel or whatever, parallel interface. He's also a children love him. So
we get to find it seems out that here. Way. This little ragamuffin quiets down as soon as Ripper holds him.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Sam's off in the corner talking on the phone in quiet.
Yes, everything's under control. I can't talk now. I have to go. No, I'll call you.
I'll call you. I have to go bang Chris Christopherson. I'll be right back. Man, I need to see her tits now, dude. I wonder, yeah, if, this movie's on, I wonder if this movie's on Netflix somewhere.
I'm sure you can just go into Google and type in...
Oh, it's probably on YouTube at this point.
Yeah, another pair of aces, another pair of Samantha and Morris tits. There you go.
When little problems seem so big, it's time to get the tushies, the industrial strength baby diaper. Jesus Christ.
Oh, there's like one line in here that...
I think it's coming up.
No, there's like something, they just like over romanticize like her holding the baby or something like, oh yeah, here it is. No, that's not it. There's like something that like, it's like in one of these paragraphs that whoever's writing this just threw in as like an aside, and it just seems strange. I'll point it out once I see it. Ripper entered the nursery and lifts up the little tyke.
Easy to put on, easy to take off, easy to dispose of. We see the old nasty diaper dropped in a hamper.
Yeah, that's what Dan, you know, talked to Jimmy Snuka about that. So,
Ripper's 24-inch pythons protecting the little guy. Sam eagerly rushes to Ripper and the baby. Oh, God.
Here it
this
is.
This is it.
Let me hold him.
Perfectly happy kid. She probably wouldn't admit it, but she wants one of... Oh my God, give the little angel back to me. Sam reluctantly hands him over. The kid instantly starts to wail again. There, sweetheart. The baby spits up all over her blouse. So Sam has got some finagling going on in the background, but she really wants to have a baby.
She wants to have Rip's baby.
Probably.
Gotta rip into that placenta, brother.
No more waiters with accents. This time I'll choose. Oh, perfect. Sadie's Diner.
Yeah.
Classic scene from the movie right here.
He's a whole lot of man.
So great. She's one of the best characters in the movie.
Yeah, that's my man. That's my man.
Sadie's
Sadie, all 200 pounds of voluptuous woman.
Of course.
Stuffed in a tight-fitted waitress uniform.
It's good American fare. Meat and potatoes. Honey, you could ask.
It's like in the ghetto or something like that. No, it's in the bad part of town. All right. It's in the bad part of town.
Yeah, but they weren't even outside. They were always inside the diner, weren't they?
Yeah, we never saw the outside.
This helps Sadie with the... Sadie's a whole lot of woman. Stop that, boy. You're always saying that. You know, baby cakes, if I weren't married, wee-wee, turn me loose. Holy shit. Yeah. I mean, instead of you, I could picture that new fighter here. What's it? Wow. Wow. She kind of racist, no?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. The racism comes out pretty, we're halfway through the script. So.
Here we go. He doesn't belong anywhere I belong. And if this image you're talking about doesn't include people like Sadie, then I don't want any part of it, brother. Holy shit. Wow. They're tackling some sensitive social issues here, Dave.
Yeah. Well, back then, people probably didn't give a shit. So.
Fucking Mike McDowell is ahead of his time in writing this script.
Yeah, Michael McDonald and Dennis Hoskins or whatever his name is.
Hey.
Two thugs wearing Halloween masks burst in. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat up against the wall. You better do what they say. I feel indigestion coming on. He didn't say that, did he?
No, not in the movie.
Please just take the money and get out.
Don't. Wait, you got to say it in Sadie's voice.
Please just take the money and get out. Don't hurt anyone. The first dog does a hard slap across Sadie's face. Wait, Sadie doesn't get hit in the movie.
Nah.
Wait, Ripper now stands. That does it. He turns around to face the thugs. And now he goes into action. I love when he's just fucking throwing plates of food at them, too. It's so great. And Dave, the line of the movie. Check, please.
And he so winks. Much for my image. now we're moving into the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, why are they staying at the Holiday Inn all of a sudden? It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it was...
It's not like they're traveling after this, are they? Unless they went really far away to go to Sadie's that they had to stay in a hotel overnight.
Well, trying to remember in the movie...
me too.
If I remember correctly in the movie, I think this is where... hold on a second.
Sam booked this, didn't she? Didn't Sam book them for something and then she wound up that they only booked one room? And then that's when she starts getting bitchy at Brell about it.
Yeah, because I think in the movie, the intent was Brell wanted her to sleep with him to get him to sign the contract.
But it's still weird, like, how they wound up there. I mean, I guess, but they were supposed to have separate rooms, no?
Well, if you look at my screenshot, you can see what they did to fix that, so.
I've got it, thanks. Have it your way. Oh, he's trying to be nice, that's all. Huh. You mean there's only one room left in this entire hotel? That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you, lady. We'll just have to go to another hotel. You could, but everybody else is sold out. My office made reservations for two. Lady, do you want the room or not? We'll take it, brother. She's going to find out what the Cobra's like, dude.
The 10-inch thermos.
This won't do at all. I know what you've got in mind, but you can forget it.
Like, he puts like zero effort into trying to game her, but she's like, she thinks that she's hot shit. So
yeah, well, you know, of course, she's pretty young lady, and here's this meathead, and you know all that.
Yeah, Chris Christopherson is coming after her. So
Sam pulls out a skimpy, frilly nightgown. Ripper suspends a line of tape between the curtain rod. Okay, we know all that. Yeah. Sam looks for something else to wear, but finds nothing. Sam undresses, not liking this at all, but Rip's casual. He's cool as a cucumber. Yeah. As cool as the other side of the pillow, Dave. Holy shit. This is so funny. All right, so this is where they set up the...
It's basically all the same stuff. There's no... It's dialogue is, you know, slightly different, but it's all pretty much the same.
Wait. This may come as a big surprise to you. Wait. You know, this may come as a big surprise to you, but not every guy wants to jump your bones. What kind of animals do you go out with anyway?
I'm too busy to date.
Oh, is that right?
Good night, Ripper.
Good night, Sam.
So this could have been like an episode of Who's the Boss?
And he's doing push-ups on the bed.
No, it was Angela. My bad. Sam was the daughter.
Yes. Well, Samantha was cute.
Not as cute as Samantha and Moore.
Well, there you go. Samantha and Moore showed her titties.
Yeah.
Don't wait up for me.
Once again, the name of the movie is called Another Pair of Aces.
He throws the covers back and flops into bed. And then the bed buckles. That's the great line. Why, you animal, you.
It was the line in the movie was like, well, this wouldn't happen if you stayed on your side of
the there bed. It is right there. How dare you try to take advantage of me when I was sleeping. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Christ, he goes to sleep in the lobby. Does so much for the walls of Jericho. Oh my god, this is great. So here she's gonna call Brell, but then she changes her mind.
Yeah, so...
And she changes her mind twice.
Yeah.
You what? I only asked you for one lousy favor. I gave you and your agency more business than you ever had. And for all this, I get a phone call in the middle of the night saying that your heart is telling you what you're doing is wrong.
Can't do this anymore.
Why you?
Holy shit. So we're back to, so this is the, we're going into the next fight.
And this is where Randy and his friend show up, no?
Yeah.
Now it's starting to get good. Don't be a chicken ass. We'll never get caught.
So maybe that was the first version of Jockass before they solidified it as that. So it was Chicken Ass.
Chicken Ass. Stupid Asses. Should be Dumbass or Stupid Ass. Oh, and Zeus fights Rebar.
Yeah. So we have a new opponent in here. We have Rebar.
Oh, there you go. And the referee stops it.
That's enough. He's had it. So everything goes crazy. Let me see. Spooked, the cameraman swings his lens towards them. They're frozen like deer caught in headlights.
Yeah, here we go.
Bring them to me. So they grab him. This scene is actually, the ending of this is a bit different.
It kind of seems like it's different at this point, because doesn't Zeus confront them right in the studio, like after the match?
Well, what happens is, hold on a second, I'm losing juice here. I gotta just notice this thing isn't charging. Jeez. Hold on.
Yeah, take your time, man.
All right, there we go. All right. As I said, 19%. I was like, whoa, we still got some juicier moments coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we're already like halfway through, but we still got some stuff to go.
Yeah. So yeah, what happens in the movie is, the Zeus fight, concludes, and Zeus is going crazy. So like the audience is just like running for their life. So when Randy and Craig are running, they bump into Brell and Bordway and Unger. And they stop them and they notice the Zeus shirts. So they didn't recognize, Randy or Craig as part of Rip's crew. So in this one they know exactly who they are and they're like, bring them to me. So what do we have here? Did your big brother tag along? So yeah, they just this part, like, he notices Randy's Ripper t-shirt, but says nothing. So it's just kind of, just typical lines from the movie. We saw him, he's sick. Actually, these are not lines from the movie, my bad.
He's sick. Is he? Maybe you'd like to tell him that yourself.
Yeah, so they drag him over to Zeus now. Zeus is like cooling off from killing another guy on television. For the highest ratings or whatever.
But then why is Brell? So Brell has no idea who they are at this point.
In the script, he does, because the camera is on them, and Brell is somewhere, in the production truck or something, and he's like, bring those guys to me. So they get brought over to Brell, and then Brell brings them to Zeus. So it's just kind of a lot of needless, like, oh, well, I saw him here, and now we're over here, and now we're moving over here for one scene.
Yeah, it might interest you to know that this is Ripper's younger brother. There we go. Cranes his neck to look up into Zeus's vile visage. Zeus drools and slobbers onto Randy's face. Your brother's yellow.
Shaking in fright. So that's it. He doesn't get beat up in the scene. So, but he does get beat up.
Okay. I didn't want to jump to that unless you were ready to, but okay. So this is not,
we're going to get to that scene. We're going to act out that scene. I want us to do, cause this is like a brand new scene. This is not in the movie. It's completely brand new thing. So
yeah, this is just weird. This whole interaction with him.
Yeah. It's like, he just sees the match and then he visits Zeus, and Zeus just calls Ripper yellow, and that's it. Now they're back at Charlie's gym, dicking around.
I saw Zeus fight. You what? This is ridiculous. It was a stupid idea. We snuck in. We got caught. This guy, Brell, he made us meet Zeus. And then what? Zeus called you a coward. And? I wanted to call him a liar, but I wanted to go at him, but I was scared. You did the right thing. Of course he did the right thing.
Yeah.
Zeus is a criminal, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's just, but this is just like another useless scene. They're going to the gym and, mentioning, that he met Zeus, and then he called him yellow, and that's it. And
Can I tell you something? Like, I see your background is, although the other background with the two of them on the couch, on the bed, it looked like you were sitting on the edge of the bed with them. Like they were there with you. It was really weird. Like I'm looking at it. I'm like, holy shit. It looks like Dave is sitting at the foot of the bed.
That's the best part of these Zoom calls. That's why I wanted to do the video.
The backgrounds. Yeah. The backgrounds rule. I just wish that our limbs would fucking stay in existence, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, that's not so bad. All right, so Brell is still drooling all over himself, and he's like, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
baby! Uh-oh, so Sam comes running in. Oh shit.
We're at the apartment now.
Lovey-dovey time.
Yeah.
So does Rippum seal the deal here?
Let's find out.
She straightens her dress. Blah, 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 blah. This was all in the movie, right?
No.
Oh, this is all new too. Holy shit.
So I think in the movie, they were the scene that I have up now where they're on the couch. But they were at Rip's house. They weren't at
And they were there for a meeting? They were getting together to discuss things or
no, actually I'm trying to like place everything now. I think this might have been after the rape scene.
Wait, we didn't get the rape scene yet, right?
No, we haven't gotten to the rape scene yet.
We still got a whole lot more to go.
Yeah.
She starts to say something. Oh, no, I'm so ashamed. Oh, here she goes. She confesses. At first, he just wanted information, but then he
Oh, okay. I remember now. What happened in the movie was she went back to the WTN offices and told Brell that she's not going through with it. And then that's when he like slaps her or something like that.
Yes.
And then she goes crying back to Rip's house.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then Hulkster starts, Ripper starts getting romantic with her.
What'd you do? So.
When I checked us out of the Holiday Inn, I saw you made a phone call. I recognized Brell's number from the way you were. Wow. You want to talk about old school shit? He got the phone bill from their room.
No, he did *69, motherfucker.
No, it says I saw you recognize the phone call when he was checking out. So this is old school for you kids who are spoiled with your cellular phones these days. If you had to make a hotel room phone call, it gets charged to the room and it comes up on your bill.
Really? Even if it's like local or...
I don't know about local. Well, yeah, but you know what? Because back in the day, they used to charge you. Remember they used to say like free local calls? Maybe this wasn't a local call.
Yeah.
Maybe the calls weren't free at the Holiday Inn or wherever the fuck they were staying.
Yeah. Well, every other place was sold out, so they had to stay there. So
I forgave you for Brell, but I haven't forgiven you for breaking the bed. You mean to tell me you've known and you let me go through all this emotional agony? Oh, she's pissed off. Oh, this is where they start flirting. Well, let me tell you something. And she pushes him on the couch. And then she squats over his face and gives him a fucking muffin.
You need to say this in Sadie's voice.
Honey, I pushed him down. I said, you wait just a second. I'm going to tell you something. And when he was down on the couch, I jumped on him. And he was hungry for some muffins. Let me tell you, child.
Now, well, the line that Sam says here is like even worse. She's like, well, let me tell you something. My bed won't break.
Ooh.
So she can take a pound.
And then the TV remote gets turned on, squashed underneath his like bulging thighs.
Yeah.
And the TV volume is slowly rising. How great is this? Oh, and here we go. Now we start hearing about Rip.
Most athlete in the world today.
And now this is all going on, and Rip's trying not to pay attention. All of a sudden, Ripper! Stella! Holy shit.
Okay, Brando, calm down.
And now they locked eyes again through the television. This is like some fucking Kylo Ren, you know, like Rey Skywalker shit, where they can fucking see each other.
Yeah, second time they're staring at each other through the TV.
Dave, we're back at the high school football field.
Sports for Kids charity program. So this is the helicopter scene where Zeus ascends and challenges Rip.
And Rip's doing his great Mel Phillips impression in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Ripper is showing Pete, a young boy, some moves. Dave, he's a young boy. He's from New Japan. It's not how gifted you are physically. It's what's inside that counts. Remember that, Phil, Pete, whatever. Ripper tussles Pete's hair.
You know, this is where the script gets, you know, we already have like the thing about Samantha and Moore wanting children and I forgot what the other thing was. And now we have the Ripper, you know, ruffling Pete's hair and caressing him. So we got the kids wrestling each other, you know, the, you need to read this. All right.
People collect themselves. Several kids are, so the helicopter just, oh, okay. So the helicopter landed and while the dust was flying around, the helicopter took off again. And then Zeus umbrella pier. So they have no way to get out of this situation. They're just there.
Yeah.
Kids are crying. The press is there. Ripper and Zeus are on the same turf. They're opposite sides of this mat. This mat where he's helping teach crippled kids how to wrestle, mind you. This is a charity event. And fucking Brell figured this would be a great time to make a jockass out of Rip. We see
he was already a jockass. He just got him right where he wanted him.
We see Ripper's arm, then Zeus's arm. Ripper's thigh, then Zeus's thigh. They come closer. Ripper's neck, Zeus's neck. They stare each other down, dead silence. And then they both...
And then they kiss.
They caress each other and lay down on the mat. And Zeus goes, "My mat doesn't break." Zeus has been waiting for your answer. Well, gentlemen, I think we just got our answer. Wow, Ripper doesn't utter a word. This is so good, man. This is great shit. Sam is holding a little girl? What is with
Sam?
Because
she wants one of her own.
Not here. You saw it. Ripper refused to accept the challenge. Ripper backed down from Zeus. Ripper is yellow. Zeus is satisfied.
The undisputed champion of the world.
Dave, he's not satisfied, though.
No, he can't get no satisfaction.
He takes his eyes off, and then they stare holes in each other. So then what happens? Then Pete runs up and hugs Ripper's leg. Rip, you got to fight him, Rip. Do it for us, Rip. Oh, no, this is where Sam gets...
My other leg, kid.
Dave, this is where Sam gets fucking beat up.
Oh, the rape scene.
Oh, God. I don't want to read this.
All right.
She bumps smack into someone leaving the elevator. It's one of the heavies. Dave. Yeah. How could the heavies still be hanging around after Ripper ripped them all to pieces?
Yeah.
Going up? Fucking creepy. Let's see what's behind here. He pulls it away and throws it to the floor. Oh, no. He slips on the groceries. That's the way to do it. Yeah. He has her by one ankle. Oh, my God. He straddles her, exposing her naked shoulders.
Oh.
And then... Just out of the fucking blue, Dave. You know why? You know why Rip shows up here? You do know why.
Why?
She fucking threw up the fucking Rip signal, and he fucking knew right away something was up.
Yeah.
He put on the fucking Ripper tracking device. Holy shit. And this dude starts running.
Yeah, this dude is cruising for a bruising.
You all right? And then he fucking takes off after him.
It was the one line that he says in the movie when he's got him, like, on the... The motorcycle. What the fuck did he say? Like,
you and me and the Harley in the tree.
Yeah. And there's something else. Shit, I'm trying to remember. Want a lift? That was it.
So this is kind of what happens. Like going down, he slam dunks him into an open manhole. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. So we're back at the high school. Oh, all right. Oh, okay.
Oh no!
All right. This is going into where Randy gets hurt. We high school scene is like short, but it goes right into the injury scene. So
yeah, I'm reading this here. It says open to the public. Come see World Champion Zeus train at his private gym. And fucking Craig is fucking trying to convince Randy to go there. Holy shit, dude. Craig is an awful friend. If you've got a friend like Craig at home, fucking tell him to hit the bricks.
Yeah, tell him to go die.
Seriously. Fucking you're going to wind up in a wheelchair if Craig is telling you what to do. Don't take advice from a guy named Craig.
So go ahead, read this. I'll be Craig, and you can be Randy.
All right. I don't know, Craig.
Everybody's going. There's no way anything could happen to us. Besides, you could keep an eye on this guy for Ripper.
Right, let's see. They're going to the gym. Sizable crowd is gathered, mostly teenagers. What's with all the kids in this? Some heavy metal kid. What's the secret of his success, dude?
Total destruction.
Jesus Christ. How does he do that?
By first destroying his opponent's minds, then their bodies, then their souls.
Brell makes a surprise announcement. Oh, no.
And now,
oh no,
Zeus would like to do some light sparring with a volunteer.
So they roped fucking high school kids in. The crowd is mostly teenagers. And now they want to fucking spar with one of them?
Oh, wait a second.
What kind of illegal bullshit is this, Dave? Yeah. Holy, is this the Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense? Like, what the fuck is going on? Oh, I know why. Because he recognizes...
Read all the lines.
He recognizes Craig. That's why. Zeus stops, looks up at Brell with disinterest, and continues his workout. Brell moves to the apron of the ring, scans the crowd, fixing his gaze on Randy. So he knew Randy was there.
Yeah.
Points a finger at him. How about you?
We're acting this out. I'm Brell.
Okay. All right, fine. All right, go ahead.
How about you?
All the kids near him, except Craig, move away. Of course they do. He's the center of attention. Randy stares back at Brell. And Craig says, don't be crazy.
What's wrong? Yellow? Like your brother?
Wait. Why does Craig say that? That doesn't make sense.
Wait, right? All the kids in your... Oh, because Craig is hanging out. Craig is by Randy.
Unless Craig's like defending him, you know? And then Brell answers Craig and then looks...
Craig is telling him, like, don't be crazy. Don't go into the ring.
Okay, there you go. So Randy takes a step forward toward the ring, and then he hesitates when Craig puts out a hand. See, now, why would Craig... Craig takes him down there. He put him in this situation. Maybe he's having a change of heart. I don't know.
What's wrong, boy? Afraid of a little sparring? Yellow, like your big brother? Ripper?
Ooh, the crowd's buzzing. This is news. This kid is Ripper's brother. The crowd starts chanting, Ripper, Ripper, Ripper. Randy, don't. And Randy, of course, being a dickhead, starts to unbutton his shirt and climbs and jumps over the top rope. And he's in great physical shape. This is Zeus'
wrestler.
Dude, this is Zeus's biggest test. Would you not agree? This is better than fucking Ice Pick Hammerstone or whatever the fuck his name was. Zeus climbs back up to the ring and steps over the top rope. Brell wisely exits the ring. Holy shit. The gravity of the situation hasn't yet hit Randy. Oh, my God. He's playing to the crowd. Oh, my God. Holy shit. So Randy sidesteps the punch. Uh-oh. Zeus's fist slams into the turnbuckle and tears it apart. You're tearing me apart. Holy shit. Randy escapes and the crowd loves it. So now... Randy's feeling good about himself. Like, oh, I could take this guy. This guy ain't so bad.
Yeah, he's not a human wrecking machine.
Oh, Christ, what else happens? Sitting on his ass, Randy sees Zeus coming down. Oh, he attempted a double leg, and he bounces off of Zeus's thigh. Whoops.
Uh-oh.
Fist clasp above his head, Zeus strikes. Randy rolls out of the way. Zeus hammers into the canvas. So he's making Zeus look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
This time, Randy's oblivious to it. He's scrambling for his life. And now Zeus gets his hand on him. He compresses Randy until he's kneeling beneath him. There you go. So, like, what do you think the purpose was with giving Randy this actual fight rather than just having him get his ass kicked? Like, why try to make Randy this tough guy at this point? What do you think?
You know, I can't say for sure. It just seems like... you know, from what we know so far, you know, they're already, you know, Charlie is already thinking of grooming him to be like the next, you know, world champion after Rip. So I think they're just kind of putting it out there, you know, that the Rip bloodline is so perfect and flawless. But now we're about to find a kink in the armor of the Rip family.
That's the funny thing. This is a kid in high school, you know?
High school kid, yeah.
Zeus catches him, drags him, compresses him, put over the edge by the chanting, Zeus grinds Randy's neck into a grotesque position and looks down into his face. But he doesn't see Randy. He sees the Ripper. Oh, my God. He's out of his mind, and he twists his neck, and he's crushing vertebrae. Dave, he broke his freaking neck.
Yes.
So is he paralyzed now for good? Like,
well, they just drop off the body at Charlie's gym, apparently. Ripper, come quick. It's Craig.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I thought it was Randy that
see, that's what I mean. They keep, maybe Craig is running in. I don't know. Let me see.
Oh, wait, he calls across the gym. So, Charlie answers. Oh, so they're on the phone.
Down the street, a car screeches around the corner toward the gym. The car slams on the brakes, getting to a stop. The back opens and a body is thrown out. The car races away. Randy's in the middle of the street.
They just drop him off.
Randy! How much did they pay to beat him up, brother?
So the public sees this. This is like a public sparring thing. And Zeus doesn't get into any trouble at all.
He killed a teenager, for Christ's sake.
Man, he already killed somebody already. He killed,
yeah, but he killed a teenager on TV or in front of the press.
Yeah.
They have witnesses, Dave.
Yeah.
Randy's chest heaves only barely perceptibly. Holy shit. Out runs Ripper. He first rushes to his Harley, but then sees Randy. So this fucking poor guy is on the phone, and Craig's telling him that Randy's fucking fucked up. So wait a minute. So what happens? How does Craig and Randy get separated? Does Craig like run out of there? Do they just like take Randy away and they tell Craig to get fucking lost and hit the bricks? Like,
Brell and Zeus had to take the evidence. So
unless he thought that, I don't know. It's just weird because how do they get separated? It's like they told him to fucking get lost. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because now Hogan's on the phone and he fucking runs out the door and there's his dead brother in the middle of the street and he just fucking practically ran past him. And Charlie's calling for an ambulance. Oh, don't move, little brother. Help is on the way. Zeus, he just says Zeus. Can you do Ripper for me? Can you read the line for me as Ripper?
No!
Holy shit, dude. Oh, and they're in the operating room, Dave.
Yep.
He's got a team of surgeons over him. He didn't deserve it. Should have been me. He spins around and snaps his head up. His face is covered in tears. He's praying to God?
Yes.
Say your prayers, brother.
Dude, he's literally saying his prayers.
Holy shit. You can do something about this. You can save him. He's grasping his cross. Holy cow, dude. This is fucking awesome. He holds the cross in front of his face as he whispers. What does he whisper, Dave? What does he whisper?
Please save him.
He gives himself to the Lord. Holy shit. All right, so what happens to Rip Jr.?
Well, now we're going into the baptism scene.
No way! He gets last rites?
No.
Oh my God. Randy is going to live. Okay, good. We're not getting last rites.
Oh, thank God. God came into, praying to God works.
Ripper looks back to the doctor, Dave. There's more news. What is it, Doc? You gotta tell me, brother! Oh, no. Oh, no. He had a stroke.
Seems that motor functions on his left side may be severely impaired.
That's terrible. Paralyzed? Not exactly.
Yeah.
And Ripper enters. Oh, no. And he cries. He's choked with emotion.
No, you got to. This one you have to act out. The Ripper's lines. Right. I'm pretty sure this is it.
You're going to make it, little brother. We'll fight this one together. Wait a minute. Wait. Black roses at the side of the bed. Get well soon, Zeus. Yeah. How creepy is this, dude?
Did you send it from your dad's florist?
Hey, wait a minute. Yes, if you need flowers, go to Flowers by Chuck in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. This is fucked up, dude. First of all, he just came out of surgery. He's got to be in intensive care. There's no way flowers get to him.
Yeah.
Unless Zeus shows up and is delivering them himself and saying, you put these motherfucking flowers in the room. And they say, okay, sir, no problem, no problem. That's fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah. So we have more hospital stuff with Charlie. And now we're back at Zeus's gym. And I believe this is the scene where Rip, you know, goes in there and, you know, tears it apart.
It's all when he's throwing like dumbbells and shit. It's fucking great.
Zeus!
He's like a human wrecking ball. Oh, and the fucking speakers are there and he's talking shit to him.
It's like one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Just like,
fuck, bro. You know what I always loved about that scene? Hogan just grabs the canvas and rips it off the ring.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it's cool that there was like a ring there. I'm guessing that's like where he paralyzed or
where he murdered fucking Rip's brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the greatest part was when Hogan gives him the fucking axe, the axe bomber. Not the axe bomber,
the
double axe handle, yeah. And he fucking hits the mirror and it was like Zeus's reflection, but Zeus wasn't there.
Yeah, where is that? I think we...
Yeah, we just passed it. It's right there.
A hologram. He looks down at his body. Yeah, this is even better. It says he charges and slams right through him. He crushes into a sheetrock wall, not a mirror.
Yeah.
A wall. He looks down at his body. There's a hologram projected on him.
And they
how do you not see... Wait, first of all, how do you not see a fucking hologram? How do you not see the wall, you know... You know, with the hologram, if something's like being projected on a wall, especially like a sheetrock wall.
Well, there's a couple things, Dave. You forget Brell is the owner of a network, so he's probably a multimillionaire, even though times are tough. You know, he's got to have money. And the other thing is, Ripper is he's in a fit of rage. You know, his brother was just nearly like killed. He's probably going to be like paralyzed on his left side. So he's in a blind fury, and maybe that hologram was just enough to set him off.
Well, especially with the ratings that he's been getting, I'm sure there's tons of money going in there.
Fucking 29. He probably
had access to technology that we didn't have available, you know, to the public in 1989.
So. And I do love, and I don't remember them setting it up in this script, but Brell would taunt Zeus while he was training, talking shit about Rip.
Only the worms are good enough for you. Rip says, only the worms are good enough for you. I forgot that.
No, it was good. You're on the right track there. I forget what he said too, but yeah, that's awesome stuff. So he bombs the rest of the gym. He throws the dumbbell through the wall. He grabs the weight bar and hurls it straight at the camera. Okay, that was in the movie.
Yep.
What else?
He destroys the gym. It's like a bomb went off. Now they're back at the office.
This is where he's making the announcement about the fight with Zeus fighting Ripper. Yeah.
Randy's very ring, exactly 2 weeks from tonight, the United Network will exclusively present the most important sporting event of our time, the No Holds Bar Tough Guy Challenge, where Zeus will finally meet Ripper.
I'm surprised they didn't give Zeus a championship belt, you know? I think that's a missed opportunity. That would have been a huge collector's item.
Yeah, well, he kind of had one when he came to the ring for the fight, so.
That's kind of...
Charlie's back at the hospital. You gotta act out this one, too.
All right. Hey, little brother. It's me, Ripper. I want you to know something. I know that you stood up to Zeus, and I'm damn proud of you. Now it's my turn. I'm going to kick his butt.
I wish that line was in the film.
They could have just left it as now it's my turn, you know?
I think that's what they did in the movie. I think because I know they use that line in the song and he says that in the scene in the film.
Because I'm going to kick his butt just sounds so weak. A slow, faint...
Back in 1989, it was pretty cool.
A slow, faint smile comes to Randy's lips and then Ripper kisses him on him. He looks right at Ripper. Ripper smiles and gives him the low high sign.
The Rip'em. They keep calling the Rip'em sign different things. They call it something else. Now they call it the low high sign to him.
He looks down at his own left hand. Something's wrong. He realizes for the first time that he's been paralyzed.
So he can't even do the rip him sign. He's totally like he's stroked out. He's done.
Fucking, it's over. It's over, Johnny. Pull the plug. Zeus is fanatically trained.
So before we go on, remember this. It's going to come in. It's going to come into play later on. So Zeus is frantically training at the gym. Same stuff from the movies. He's breaking the cinder blocks. We have a new scene. We're at the dining room of the United Network building.
Oh, this is the board of directors dinner. Okay.
Yeah, dressed in evening clothes, working on their soup course. All are attentive.
Mr. Green looks skeptical, though, Dave.
But what if Ripper wins?
Oh, fuck. Brawl's going to kill him.
Mr. Green, Ripper will not win this fight. Trust me.
Oh, shit. It's going down, Dave.
Shit is going down. We're back at the hospital again because we can't get enough hospital scenes. So gimpy old Randy is trying to use pulleys and wires to get some strength back in the left side. It's pointless. He's just wasting his time because Zeus just beat the living shit out of him. He made him into mincemeat.
And he not only that, dude, but Randy's very selfish. And let me tell you why. If this fight was going to happen, whether or not Randy like got beat up, Randy's taking valuable training time away from Rip. Because now he's got to train his crippled ass to get back into shape.
But, you know, we also got to remember that Ripper is perfect. So he doesn't really need to train. He's just that good.
I don't know, man. If I was going into the octagon against Zeus, I'd want to train at least a little bit.
Yeah, especially since he'd been killing guys left and right.
And look what happened, dude. Look what happened. Randy got cocky in his wrestling match, and he almost lost the damn thing. You don't want Ripper
to be too cocky. Yeah, there's no chicks purposely opening their legs left and right. So.
No visions of sugar plums.
Yeah, dancing in his head.
All right, so they're working on the satellites now.
This is the day of the fight. We're at the fight scene.
The inoperative elevator. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. See, there's still no in the hotel room. Tonight. I feel a lot better knowing you're going to be in my corner tonight.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
It would be more like, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
True.
Hey, y'all, save the kissing and hugging for after the fight. Champ, we got to go. Got to warm up.
Rip him.
Rip him. Come on, let's get moving. We're late. See you in the locker room. See you at ringside, sweet tits.
Please be careful. Don't do anything that will hurt your image. Okay, so it's a fucking image line. It's like probably like one of the weakest things of this script. They keep pulling it.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's consistency. Like she's trying to be silly, you know. She's like,
yeah.
It's a classy. It's a classy affair.
Typical woman just bringing up like stupid shit that isn't funny, and it's funny to them, but whatever.
You know, I read that the black tie ticket holders file into Studio One, and all I think of is Studio One in Newark. That might be a little before your time.
Probably.
Yeah, it was on the border of Belleville, right off of Washington Ave. It was pretty much just a metal club. It was just like one big room with a stage. And I think
I don't remember Studio One now.
I think it's like a gospel church now. So like
praise the Lord.
Yeah. Like a church. I don't want to say Baptist, but it's like a church where there's a whole lot of like singing and dancing.
Yeah, I know.
You know the kind of church, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what denomination it is, but you know.
Yeah, I know what you got.
So there's that.
Sadie would you know go there after.
Oh, Sadie would fucking love it. Sadie's probably there right now. She's like, I thought the match was here, sugar.
Okay, so we got more like useless banter. They're in the locker room now. So this is kind of interesting. This is a little bit different than what's in the movie, because I believe Brell gives him a call. Let me find that. We got the elevator action going on here. Sam gets pushed in there. Craig pushes Randy out first. Sam follows. His wheelchair is outside the elevator. Security guards sweep in and prevent her from exiting. So,
and that was it. So that was when they kidnapped Sam, and then they took her up to Brell's office or whatever. Yeah, and then so Sam is the fodder. The the what do you call that? Like the ransom.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. No, she's the kidnap victim, and the ransom is lose the match. Give us, what did he say? Give us like 5 or 10 minutes and then go down.
Yeah, so that's what happens. Bro gives him a call.
They grab Sam. They grab Sam.
He took her up the elevator.
All right. Here we go. Let me do my best version. Hello, bro. I'm listening.
At the 10-minute mark, you go down. And you stay down. Or you'll be pushing twin wheelchairs. You hear me?
I hear you. You two stay at ringside. Charlie, you've got 10 minutes to find her.
I'm moving.
Sounds like a fucking spy movie.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Meanwhile, Charlie can barely move. So I like this line. Charlie moves as fast as his old bones will take him.
Probably like waddling down the hall, like really running, like with exaggerated elbows, you know?
Fred Sanford is out to rescue her.
Dummy, I'm going to get a dummy. Inside, in the interior studio one, blah, 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 blah. Folding chairs, Dave.
Yes.
Folding chairs.
Classy event. They still have folding chairs.
In Studio One. Fucking A, man. And the crowd is chanting for Ripper. Ripper, Ripper. Ripper. But notice it's not Ripper. It's Ripper. It's all one word now. The referee's checking.
You know, they're wearing tuxedos and gowns. So.
Who did the commentary for this match? They had somebody different?
It was the ring announcer.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
The referee is checking the ropes and the turnbuckles now. But as soon as the fight starts, he will leave the ring. His only duty is to stop the fight and declare a winner.
Four brells of floor, ceiling. So, yeah, he's up in the crow's nest now behind his glass. Ripper comes out. Everybody's going nuts. Ripper doesn't even acknowledge the crowd. He is deadly serious. Charlie is absent. Dun, dun, dun! Zeus's music blares. Is that like that boom, like that ominous shit?
I forgot, but it was like some Jim Johnson music that he came out to. I was surprised he never used that. Like, well, he never had a singles match, so he couldn't come down to his own music. So,
yeah, the only time he ever had a match was with Macho Man, and they always came out with Pomp and Circumstance.
Yeah.
Although, if you ever listen to the rumors. Very early prospects were for Zeus and Hogan to have that big blow-off singles match at WrestleMania 6.
Yeah, thank God that didn't happen.
Oof, thank God indeed. So Zeus's music blares. He comes out. He's alone. He's a man on an island. He's doing this for himself. So these motherfuckers finally get their face-to-face in the middle of the ring. And Unger says it's about to start. These fuckers are eating popcorn, laughing it all the way to the bank. Let's see. So they step toward each other. Deep growl, Randy. You killed my brother.
So this is the fight scene. It's pretty on point to what we see in the there's like a little bit of changes, but
anything stick out or nothing serious?
There's multiple ring poles that are ripped out. So,
well, he's Ripper, that's why.
Not by Rip, by Zeus. Fuck.
I thought Rip was perfect. He should have been destroying the whole place.
Oh, well. There's actually like a point in here where like Rip gets some offense for like a brief amount of time, and then he goes back to getting his ass kicked.
Wouldn't it have been great if like Rip just came to the ring and shot him, and then he fucking just left?
Well, he does kill him at the end of the movie, so.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, he had a little trickle of blood coming out of his lip. Then again, if every time Ken Shamrock had bled from the mouth, we thought he was dead. He would have been dead 40 years ago.
Yeah, but did Ken Shamrock ever get double axe hammered from a crow's nest onto the ring that is like so far away from where the crow's nest is?
I don't know, dude.
How Zeus even made that leap? Is
the attitude error is very hazy to me. It could have happened.
Yeah,
it could have happened to somebody.
Yeah.
Sam watches him. So Sam sneaks out here or no?
Yeah, this is like gearing up to that point. The men cheer again. She sees her opportunity. She slithers towards the door, and guard sitting right in front of Sam jumps to his feet, sends his chair flying back.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah, this is the same in the movie. So she puts the chair back, and he sets it back down.
So she manages to escape here.
Yeah. And reaches for the doorknob.
The guard throws his keys down in disgust.
Who the hell does that? Like,
that didn't happen, did it?
Just walked out the door. She just opened the door and left.
Ridiculous.
And why they didn't lock the door? Well, if they locked the door, she could have just unlocked it while she was in there. So it didn't really matter.
And now this is where the guard realizes he done fucked up.
He done goofed.
Okay, so Ripper's trying to recover here.
Yeah. Using both hands, Ripper grabs Zeus's wrist with enormous effort, manages to push his hand a couple of inches away from his face.
You see that? You know what? That's wrist control. Don't forget, Hogan spent a lot of time in New Japan.
Yeah.
He knows all about wrist control.
So Ripper's coming back. Left hook to Zeus's ribcage, left to the sternum, right to the right uppercut to the chin, left to the side of the head. Blows are raining down on Zeus. And Sam is making her get away.
Zeus is in a world of trouble here.
He's in a world of hurt. Sam is plastered against the wall. I'm sure a lot of guys want to plaster her against the wall. Huh?
Fuck yeah, dude. And she gets away and she hears the pounding outside the elevator. So now this is the conundrum. We've heard the 10 minutes from the commentator. So this is Dave. This is the tapping of the pen or the pull in the ear. This is the go home cue. And Zeus
going to take the dive.
Yeah, because Rip doesn't know what's happening in the background. He sees only Randy and Craig. Randy knows exactly what is happening.
So Zeus had a moment to recover, lowers his opportunity, unleashes a vicious kick to Ripper's lower abdomen with his silver-toed boot.
He attacks Ripper with the same series of lefts. Ripper's rocked with every concussive blast. This is pretty impressive writing here.
Yeah.
Sam watches the numbers light up one by one. It seems like it is taking forever. No shit.
Yeah.
Drama. It did in the movie too, man. It took fucking forever.
Yeah, and actually the description that they go into here is just like really excruciating with like, it's high tension, but you know, for this kind of film, it's like whatever. But you know, it just goes back and forth with the guard trying to get his fingers in there, and then you know, finally the fingers loosen up and the door closes, and you know they meet her on another floor and all this other kind of stuff. So,
with one hand, Zeus is driving Ripper's neck down over the top rope, choking him.
The other hand, he tears apart the stuffing that covers the turnbuckle, exposing the raw steel knuckle. Zeus pulls Ripper's head back, what's left of his hair, drives his face into the unprotected buckle.
And in the meantime, as soon as the elevator opens at Studio One, there's all the pursuers. They beat her down to the bottom. They're grinning. Sam is trapped, but then a forklift blindsides them?
Yes.
Come on.
Guess who's driving the forklift?
How the fuck did Charlie. They get a forklift inside the studio there? That makes no sense.
Yeah, it looks just like a building. It didn't really look like a, like you can get a forklift in there. There's no, but anyway, Charlie has a forklift. He maneuvers it. He somehow knows that these guys are coming onto that floor. And he somehow knows that Sam is going to be at that floor. And it just, you know, pins him up against the wall. So
Brell is supremely confident. Well, he shouldn't be for long because his plan is falling apart before the audience's eyes. Sam and Charlie entered the studio, frantically running down the aisle toward the ring. He sees Sam as he's dragged back by Zeus for more punishment. Brell cannot believe his eyes. Go ahead.
Finish him. Finish him now.
Brell pounds his fist. This is where Brell gets kind of stupid. Like all of a sudden he just starts punching everything.
Yeah, he just goes berserk and loses his mind.
He not only ruins his broadcast, but he probably ruins catching the final moments of this match on tape, which means he's never going to profit from any of this.
Well, he dies too. And since Zeus dies, you know, there's no proof that Rip killed anybody.
Well, there you go. He got away with one.
Yeah.
Ripper's lying face down, ring post held high. He drives it toward the small Ripper's back. Ripper rolls out of the way, and the post goes right through the floor of the ring, blasting a hole in it.
You know, I wonder if Vince was thinking about that when they booked the Berserker Undertaker feud.
Why is that? What happened?
Yeah, Berserker had the sword and he was gonna stab Undertaker in the heart with it, and then Undertaker rolled out of the way and the sword was like stuck in the mat.
Don't you remember that? This at all? No.
Oh, wow. I remember seeing that as a kid and I was like about to shit a brick. I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill him on TV.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. I'll get you a clip.
I'll wind up whatchamacallit. I'll see if I can pull it up from the network. I'm sure Berserker's on there.
It was probably like Berserker's like only like high point in the WWF.
Sam is screaming at the referee. Wait. Oh, okay, so Zeus has Rip in the same hold that he used in which to paralyze Randy, and Sam's yelling, "Do something! Do something! Stop him! Stop him! Let me show you my titty." She should have fucking took out the secret weapon on the apron like Elizabeth.
Yeah, but that's what I would have done. A little bit better.
Grabbing Ripper's head, he's wrenching Ripper's head so hard that Ripper's looking right up at him. He torques Ripper's neck with all his strength. And Ripper does the shuddering and convulsing cell.
Oh, so, yeah, it's totally great. Hogan.
He concentrates with all his might. He looks down to his hand. He makes the finger move slightly. Please tell me he gives him the finger. Ripper has seen Ripper. He gets that look in his eye, brother.
So he grabs Zeus's ankle. It pushes him off the mat. Ripper is rippering up.
Rippering up.
Yeah. So he's, you know, the power is in the... This is where the power lies. He's getting turned on.
It's just turning me on, dude.
The veins and the 10-inch thermos are just bulging out of his tights.
My cobra's getting bigger just thinking about it, brother.
So we have like another like ring post bending here. Like Ripper walks straight up to him and delivers a stupendous shove to the chest with the heels of his hands, knocking Zeus up and back into one of the remaining ring posts, because for some reason all the other ones got knocked down. And then later on in the script, they mentioned the other ring post getting knocked down. So we only have like one remaining ring post. So now ring post bends down and that corner of the ring collapses. So the ring is already like falling apart before Zeus, you know, flies to his death.
Can I ask you a logic question?
Yeah.
How far away is the security office from the studio where Sam had to travel 24s to get away from security? But the studio's downstairs. So if something would have happened in this studio, it would have taken this fucking old-ass security guard like 3 hours to get down to where the ring was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
True. Unless it's kind of like...
it just makes no sense.
Some buildings that have like so many floors, like once it hits like floor 10, it goes straight down to 1.
Not this elevator.
Yeah.
This elevator took forever. All right, so here we go. Randy's realizing Zeus is trying to escape, throws his good right arm out and grabs Zeus and trips him. Holy shit.
Wheelchair immediately tips over.
So now the cripple guy's on the floor.
Yeah. So we have Zeus, a paralyzed guy.
So Ripper takes out a ring post. This fucking ring is just falling apart at the seams here.
Yeah, this is like one of the crappiest rings.
And it had 8 posts. You would think they would have made it a little stronger, you know? Brell is losing his fucking shit here, figuratively and literally, dude.
Yeah.
They're battling on his doorstep. So Zeus and Rip are fighting, and Brell's and his fucking computer system are fighting at the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe if he would have just pressed those 2 buttons, Dave, the printer would have worked. I don't know.
Well, if he adjusted the lateral interface or whatever.
The parallel interface. I thought it was serial, Dave.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not Rip, so... I don't have my
degree in computer science. Fewer perfect like Rip is.
That's why I'm wearing the shirt. I'm trying my best. So.
That's okay. You look kind of like Randy. If your hair was blonde, I think you could pull off being his brother.
Hopefully not him in the wheelchair.
No. You would know better. You would have told Craig to go fuck his hand.
Yeah, I wouldn't show up at any Zeus fight.
No. I would have got away from Zeus. I would have moved out of town.
So this dude killed people. Come on.
So Ripper tackles Zeus. There's just the most. Zeus clutches his throat, choking. He looks up to see Ripper coming down on him with the most awesome double axe hammer, dude. Falling 20 feet, he lands flat on his back, dead in the middle of what is... Okay, there it is. He's dead.
Yeah.
The impact rocks the entire building. The remainder of the ring collapses on him, swallowing up like a black hole. Zeus lies buried within the ropes, torn canvas, twisted metal ring posts, and rubble of what once was the octagonal ring. And the crowd is now chanting properly, "Rip Purr, Rip Purr, Rip Purr." And that's an awful lot of peas to have to say. Ripper's chest is heaving as fucking Brell is still losing his mind. Brell is looking right into Ripper's eyes, and he doesn't call him a jockass either. Brell flattens himself against the back wall of the control booth, which is completely covered with dozens of monitors. He raises his hand in a plea for mercy. He reaches out and inadvertently grabs onto a sparking high amperage electrical wire. Well, of course he does.
Yeah.
Of course he does, Dave, because he was a dummy and ripped out all the shit to begin with. And we get all the explosions, yada, yada, yada. Brell fucking wiggles and jiggles up against the fucking electricity. And now Brell dies, and Ripper witnesses this with no remorse.
Poetic justice.
His music, his anthem, blares out across the studio, Dave. His anthem, as a two anthem. Dead bodies are there in the studio.
As the crowd is cheering his name.
Rip Purr. And Randy made his way back to the wheelchair. Oh, and Rip picks him up, a la Elizabeth the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Ripper is full of pride. He looks up at his brother. Randy looks down at Ripper, then straight out at all the faces. Randy sets his jaw. He's got that look in his eye. Ripper sees it.
What? And we're coming to it. This is
the big
get
ending.
Get ready. Brace yourself. Okay.
Rip him! Randy's left arm starts to quake. He fixes his stare down at it, trying with every ounce of willpower in him. Ever so slightly, the elbow bends. 1 inch, then another, then another. The elbow locks up into place. His wrist also tightens and locks into place. With enormous effort, Randy raises his arm out from his side. The crowd is cheering him on, loving every moment. Thumb goes up. Little finger goes out. Keep going. Randy snaps his head up, stares back at the crowd, and shoots them all a proud, victorious rip them.
He can do it.
You can do it. Freeze. And that's the still shot. Yeah. Holy shit.
Rip them.
They need to do a sequel. I want to see Rip and Samantha with their kids. I want to see if Zeus has a son. We could do this like all fucking Creed, where it's like,
yeah, where it's Zeus like Jr.
Yeah, like Rip Jr. and fucking Little Zeus or Hey Zeus, because Zeus married a Hispanic woman.
Yes.
I don't know. Dude, this was fucking awesome.
Yeah, this was great. I'm glad we went through the entire script. I didn't know if we were going to just jump around or what, but I'm glad we went through the whole thing. This has been a blast.
This was fucking great. And on top of that, dude, like, I learned so much about these fucking minds of these people writing this script and exactly what they were going on. And a lot of it fits into what was going on in wrestling at the time, especially all the Hulk Hogan comeback shit. And dude, Randy's the star of the fucking movie. No.
Yeah.
He fucking gets paralyzed. That moment.
I don't get how he's like, well, you know, obviously we don't know what the time frame is, but it seemed pretty quick where, you know, they announced the match. He's like crippled, paralyzed, and then
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. He's ripping him up. So
2 weeks of physical therapy and a couple of prayers to the Lord and Sam escaping her captors and
some illegal drugs and rip him.
Fucking rip him, dude. Rip him.
Rip him.
Get this back to regular screen. All right, I'm gonna shut the. All right, perfect. You shut that off. That was awesome. Yeah. And as you can see in the background, they're holding, they're not exactly over his shoulder, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Charlie fucking grabbing on that woman.
Yeah, you better
put your hand down, Charlie.
Where's nice. My woman at?
You know, Craig may not be a great guy, but if that's his woman, you better leave her alone, dude.
Hey, you know, Charlie needs to get his piece too, you know?
Charlie the Tuna.
Yeah, Charlie the Tuna.
Fucking A. Well, I'm glad everybody that supports us or whatever, I guess, joined us for this. I hope you guys had as much fun as we did. This was fucking killer. This was great. Dave,
fucking hilarious.
Thank you for the idea for this. Thank you for bringing this up. I'm so glad that in our conversation over the weekend that you remember that you had this gem, because this was fucking great, dude. And this, we've been doing this almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for longer than the fucking movie. That's how much fun we were having.
Yeah, we went through the entire fucking script.
The time flew for this. This was great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us. I guess I'll leave a copy of the script. Is that cool? Like if I put a copy of the script with this?
Yeah, that's
fine.
So
you guys get to read along and actually like, you know, read it long form and go through it and let us know what you think. This was fucking great. I might even put the script up in the Discord if people want to read it. That might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, why not? Because I was actually looking to see if this was like, you know, online. I didn't see anyone post this, but I didn't do like a thorough search or anything like that. But
it is cool that we posted. Like this is like we're free and clear to do this, right? I mean, we're cool.
I don't know about that. So.
Well, I mean, I guess we could put it up until we're not allowed to put it up. I mean, Christ. Oh, whatever.
They give you like one chance to take it down, right?
Yeah, but then the problem is, it's like who knows how far it went. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'll look into it. I'll figure it out. But anyway, the script was part of the video. Hopefully, now you've recorded these. Like whatever you show is part of the video. I hope.
Well, you're recording, so.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like we looked at the script through Zoom, so it's going to be recording through Zoom, I would imagine.
Yeah, give it a look. I can't recall offhand what like Zoom videos look like once you're done recording. It may not have our screens on there. I could be wrong, but.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Either way, like the people get to see the script while we're reading it. So.
That's all we could ask for. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody right now, and I'm going to stick around with my boy Dave, but that's shit that you people aren't really interested in. So once again, thanks for joining us on our journey of a pre-final script to No Holds Barred, the greatest fucking wrestling movie ever made.
Rip them.
And it's all because of me.
All because of me.
Brother, you know you made me proud. You gave me something to believe. But it's my turn.